Okay, we're
All
ready.
right. Good evening, everyone. This is the December 10th, 2025 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. I'm Kamau Harris, Chair of the Board, and I will ask our Secretary, Ellen Carter, to call the roll. Ellen.
Irene, do you see Irene?
Not yet.
Audience here. A Verna
Yes, present.
here. Okay.
Present.
Wayne Bruce. Wayne Bruce. Michael Byfield. Michael Byfield. Bill Curtis. Bill Curtis. Violetta. Violetta.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got
Yes.
you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Vanessa.
I'm here.
Sue. Robert.
Present.
Craig. No. No longer with us. Kamal.
I'm here.
Michael Hirsch.
I'm here.
Julie.
I'm here.
Arthur Hyland.
Good evening. Yes, I'm here.
David.
Here.
Ambrose.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here.
Tony Leon. Tony. Mariah.
I'm here.
Ron Pitchback.
Here.
Minerva.
Present, and Irene is in another meeting. She'll be dialing in a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Michelle. Michelle. Wanda. Wanda. Dennis.
I am here.
This is Michelle. I'm here as well.
Okay, thank you. Thomas. Thomas Chase. Junette. Junette.
She's trying to get into the meeting. She'll be up shortly.
Okay, thank you. Jawara. Jawara. Okay, I'll go back and then anybody who doesn't answer this time, Kamal, if you could just let me know during the meeting when they come in. Wayne Bruce. Michael Byfield. Bill Curtis. Sue Goodwin. Tony.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Thomas Chase.
Here.
Okay. Jawara. Jawara. All right. If you could just let me know, Kamal, when Wayne Bruce comes in, Michael Byfield, Bill Curtis, Sue. Tony's here. And Jawara. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you. All right. A few things before we get to the agenda. And I appreciate everybody who had feedback on that. There were a couple of things that I missed that I wanted to get approval from the body on adding to new business. We have to discuss the retention of our parliamentarians. contract expires at the end of this meeting, for her to continue into the, new year. We have to set up a new contract. So I want to put that on the agenda as new business. Is any opposition to adding the retention, a discussion about retaining our parliamentarian, to the agenda? All right. Hearing no objection, we'll add that under new business. Number three. Number two is the, if you look at your agenda, at the bottom, there is, some language in red that I put in bullet points. Don't have to do it now, but before the meeting is over, I need to have, the, approval of those bullet points. I've added those. And, I think I didn't really run it past everybody here. So I want to make sure everybody's in, agreement with those bullet points as part of the process for our meetings. And so, that would be part of new business as well, just approving, those bullet points that have been added at the bottom of our agenda each month when you get the agenda. Is there any objection to having a discussion and approval of those, bullet points on our agenda? That should be a quick one if we have it.
Excuse me. This is Minerva. I've got my hand up.
I didn't see it. Go ahead, Member Sanders.
No problem. I don't have a copy of the agenda, and you may have sent it to me, but I've been having problems with my computer. So if you would like to read those bullet points, that would work for me.
Yeah, I just need approval to add it to new business, and we can read them during that time.
Any objection? I can't say whether I disagree if I don't know what they are, if I can't see them beforehand. So would you possibly read them? You said it's two or three of them.
I don't understand the question here. You're saying that you want to know what the bullets say before we have a discussion about approving the bullets?
What I'm saying to you is, first off, I don't have the agenda. Yeah. And your statement was, these bullet points are at the bottom of the agenda. Is there a problem with adding them to the agenda? And are these three items such that you can't read them?
Not at all, but I'm trying to understand. I just need to know, can we discuss it as new business? That's all. I'm going to read them. It's just under new business.
Go ahead and do what you're going to do, Kamau. I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
All right. Any objection to the discussion about the bullet points on the agenda? All right. Hearing none, we'll add that. Shouldn't take that long. I will read them out one by one. There's five of them. All right. Robert, Member Gordon, could you do the timekeeping for us this evening? Sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was muted. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, sure, Kamau. Sure, of course.
All right. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right. And, you all have the minutes from the November meeting. Any changes or edits to the minutes from our November meeting? I'm sorry. Any other changes to the agenda? All right. Hearing none, we have our agenda set. You have the minutes. The minutes have been distributed by our secretary. Are there any changes or edits to the minutes? Or corrections? All right. Hearing none, the minutes are adopted as they were distributed. All right, we're at our first bullet point here, which is our program director's report with questions. Katia Stitt is here. Katia, go ahead with your report.
Hi, you all. I sent the report in a few days ago, so I'm wondering if you all have any questions about the report. I'm assuming everyone received it. I know Ellen sent it out.
Are there any short highlights you want to give us or anything like that? I know some folks may or may not have got a chance to win it, but just a quick bullet point. And then we can
sure. Yeah. There. Yeah. Let me just open it here. Well, I mean, I can just go through the topics without going into the meat, if that's okay.
Sure.
Kamal, and then people can read it at their leisure. But basically, we are continuing, if you're listening to PFW, you hear that we are continuing to center what is happening in D.C., the occupation, the protests, the resistance. Just this morning, there was an excellent program on with Kamal Freeman, who is Verna Avery Brown's, I guess, third Wednesday host. I think this is the third Wednesday or second Wednesday host. Again, talking about what's happening in D.C. We had a full day of special programming on Monday around the crisis in housing in the DMV, mostly centering D.C., but we had I got distracted. Forgive me. We had a day of programming around the crisis in housing. I hope you all were able to catch that. Very good. It was spearheaded by Donald Temple. He came to us with a good, a great idea. And so we implemented that on Monday. I think it was, actually a very good listen. And if you have time to listen to only one thing, I would go back and listen to the town hall portion. I'm sorry, Ambrose is here. Ambrose's portion was great too. I don't mean that, but I would, definitely listen to the town hall because it really touched on everything from the unhoused to tenants' rights to the loss of homes in the District of Columbia through gentrification, through taxes, through probate court. So it was definitely a worthwhile program, worthwhile listen. We have our quarterly programmers meeting coming up on next Tuesday. And we're going to be discussing AudioPort to see and Ursula Rudenberg, who is the director of the affiliates, but she also keeps AudioPort, is going to be with us to explain to our programmers how their programs can be on AudioPort, which is great. Sue Goodwin and Noah Portner will also do a presentation on the newsletter and how more programmers can engage in that. Let's see, we did meetings and partnerships, there are many. We're working with the Cuban embassy to do a series of programs on what is happening in Cuba from their literacy campaigns to their impressive, medical, not only facilities, but also medical schools and what's happening in that way. And, something very interesting they're going to talk about as well is how they are using solar power to power parts of the island that don't have electricity. And of course they don't have the electricity because they can't get the resources they need because of the sanctions. So we've been talking to them. We're talking to Herod's Wild and Streams, Palestinian Youth Movement, and Freedom Futures Collective about coming together, and because they're all young people, and hosting an activist program where they would rotate as young people to try and bring in more young people who are doing this kind of work in the DMV. We have our next In the Studio taping. As we mentioned before, In the Studio is our new YouTube program where Adrian Ferguson, who is the founder of Art of Noise Gallery, has been in conversation with various visual artists. We're trying to do this to drive traffic to our YouTube channel and build up our YouTube channel. And so, and there have been really great conversations. So the first one was painter Maurice James, African-American painter. The second one was Mona El-Bayoumi, who is an Egyptian painter. And on Monday, we'll be taping at the Hillwood Museum with the chief curator there. And again, we just received the second one, Mona Elbayumi, so that'll be up within the week. And then we're taping on Monday the next installment. And again, this is our way of trying to build different audience, new audience, more audience. We, if you've been listening to us, we covered pretty extensively the March for Mumia, which started last weekend and ran through yesterday with a press conference at the prison. At the SCI Mahonoy, and Joni actually did a superb job at lifting this up. Roach also had Chairman Larry Hamm on as he was marching last Tuesday with the group. We're going to do a special hour tomorrow at 2 p.m. with Larry Hamm, Dr. Alvarez, who is one of Mumia's doctors. We're hoping Noel Hanrahan will join us as well to talk about Mumia. We have special programming. Oh, well, we did Monday special programming. And then, January 1st, we do our annual New Year, New Jazz. Willard Jenkins is kind of the producer for that day. And it's a retrospective, basically, or, not a retrospective, a survey of the jazz in, year in review, meaning, recordings that have been released, meaning those who have passed on, artists who have passed on, a survey of the best jazz performances in this area. We did a wonderful day on Sudan, and we want to thank our dear brother Mosa Baba, who is a Sudanese journalist who really worked hard to get us voices who are on the continent, who have been covering this, you can't say it's a war, this atrocity that's going on. Amplify Sudan, that was Wednesday, November 19th. We also on Thursday, November 27th did our usual National Day of Mourning. We took you live to the United American Indians of New England broadcast from noon until 3. Before that, though, we did a Jimi Hendrix birthday celebration. Dr. Thomas Stanley, who is one of the foremost Hendrix scholars, if you will, did a special from 9 to noon entitled Baba Jimmy and His Voodoo Spawn, looking at those who were inspired by Jimmy. It was a great listen. I'm sure there is more. However, and we're meeting tomorrow with I don't know if you all remember, many of you remember the Whammies. And again, we're doing these things to try to outreach to the local community. So those that remember the Whammies, we had been involved at one point in time as a media partner, and then they stopped doing it. Then they came back and they were working with like iHeartRadio and the kind of corporate media. And so they've come back to us now and said, hey, we want to work with you all again. So we're going to be hopefully working with the Whammies, doing stuff with them. Those are kind of the highlights. Again, the report is pretty extensive. And we had Medea Benjamin do an editorial on Venezuela. You might have heard that. That's all I can, I'm trying to take my report and kind of, you know, get it in the minutes I have. So there's a full report there for you to read. I hope you will take the time to read it. And if you have any questions after the fact, please don't hesitate to email me, call me, text me, ask me questions. Kamau?
All right. Thank you so much, Katia. You heard the report from our program director. I see Member Lane. Go ahead with your question.
How much time, Kamau, please?
We're almost at time certain, but 2 minutes. That's our, that's on the agenda. 2 minutes. Yep.
No. I mean, how much time for folks to ask questions?
Oh, two minutes. Yeah. For folks to ask. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No worries. Member Lane, go ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to thank you, Katia, for pushing us to do the, programming on housing on Monday. About three weeks ago, maybe four, I had, three women on who were presidents of their tenant associations. And on Monday, I had attorney Ari Teresa, who was an outstanding housing attorney. He has actually agreed to help, those three women and others to form a tenants union. And that's very exciting because a tenant union can actually go and fight for TOPA. And for those that don't know what TOPA is, that's tenants' opportunity to purchase. And that's been diminished both by this council and by the mayor. And they're going to strengthen, it could be strengthened through a union. So I just wanted to report that.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Ambrose, for jumping in. We thought it was really, really important to make sure that not only was the day about homeowners, but also about tenants, because we know that they are also getting hit very hard. They're being evicted at record numbers. The rents are being raised 100-200%. So we also thought it was really important to make sure that we included our unhoused family and what is happening to them being shipped off. If you heard Julian's show, being shipped off to Utah and other places and maybe into a forced labor camp for their keep, which is, you know, madness. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention. You spurred my memory and I can't remember again now. So if it comes back to me, I'll mention it. Thank you, Ambrose. And thank you for participating.
All right. Anybody else for our program director? We're about 3 minutes from time certain on this topic. All right, hearing none. Thank you so much, Katia, and I appreciate you being here and giving us your report.
You're welcome, and I'm not feeling so well this evening, so I'm going to take my leave, you all, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yep. Ellen, we have here now Member Curtis. Bill Curtis is here. Please mark him present. Member Hunter, I think I saw him come in. And Member Pinckney is here. All right.
Thank you. I've got it.
Excellent. All right. We will hear from our membership coordinator. Sataria Joyner is here this evening. Sataria, please give us Hello. Your report if you would.
Hello, everyone. This is pretty quick. Good evening. As many of you know, we had a Giving Tuesday. It was Tuesday last week. In order for us to enter in the, we can't put in our current database, doesn't really allow us to do a one day in the system. We have to make it at least a week so it includes all programs. And what that does is that helps if someone donates and they want to choose a specific show to support. Then we have to have that whole week present in those drive days for that to happen. So last year we ended up doing 2 weeks for Giving Tuesday in our system. And so just so it'll be comparable, this year and going forward, we did 2 weeks in the system for this year. So it's in from, I think November 30th through this coming Friday. As of now, we have about $18,960. That is an increase from the report that I sent, because that report was as of when I did the report. So it has since gone up. Yay. We always happy for more money. That's gone up. And so we hope that it'll continue to increase as we move towards Friday. Let's see. We do have the pledge drive coming up. As you know, our goal for the drive, it's only 1 week, it's the 14th through the 20th, and the goal is $95,000. We're very confident that we can reach that. If you have time to donate and volunteer, we will have people in-house answering phones on Sunday the 14th and Saturday the 20th. I've also included some information. If you have questions on different ways to give, that's not the pledge drive, or if you get people asking you questions, I included a link in the report that you can click on, and that will allow you to, tell people. It lists how to donate your vehicle, how to call and how to contact us to volunteer. If you want to join the Jazz and Justice Circle, you know, all these types of things. Mike, are you asking me my name? I'm Sataria Joyner.
Oh, not East. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just saw it pop up and I didn't really know if you were speaking to me or not.
We all know you.
Okay.
But there's somebody calling in with an 897 number.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Wanda.
He's in the chat. Yeah. All right.
So we've got that figured out. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. My apologies. I do have the upcoming pledge drive dates. I won't go through all of next year. But we are looking at February 8th through the 21st as our next on-air pledge drive. And that's it for me. Does anyone have any questions?
All right. You've heard the report from our membership coordinator. I'll take a stack if there's any questions.
So someone want to know about Cash App. Out of that 18,000.
Yeah, go ahead and you can answer that one. What's your, anything on Cash App?
Out of that $18,960, $1,100 is Cash App.
That's a performance within the, Tuesday giving. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. I think that's the question. If not, then they'll follow up. Any other questions for our membership coordinator? All right. Hearing none. Thank you, Sataria, so much for, your report. Appreciate that. Thank you for all your work also.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you all.
All right. Next up is our interim general manager, Miyuki Williams, with her report. Miyuki is here.
Good evening, everybody.
Go ahead.
Overall status of the station is good right now. The most troubling thing at this moment was the fact that we had a cyber attack on Sunday afternoon evening. It happened around 4:49. Luckily, our engineer, Frenchie, was in there with Miles. He was doing some work in the studio. He was able to immediately get in contact with our chief engineer, Mo. Mo was able to, from remotely, was able to shut it down, or was able to switch from terrestrial air to streaming and put the streaming on air, and he was able to stop it. But the incident itself was disturbing because it was somebody who started on with an emergency alert system sound, similar type tone. And then there was significant background noise, multiple overlapping voices, repeated uses of racial slurs, including the N-word. A male voice identified, a male voice that sounded as a white male, spoke about a personal YouTube station or channel, and this whole thing was on loop. WPFW did not authorize this content, and it did not originate from station programming or personnel. Today, I submitted this report, submitted the transgression on Monday to the FBI. Today, met with FCC and Homeland Security, and register that there as well. And Mo has taken precautions so that this won't happen again. So however they got access to our air, that they can't at least get in the same way. He shut down the means in which they did that. So that's probably the most different or newest thing that happened at the station. As Sitari already talked about, the Giving Tuesday was very successful, and also very cleverly Baba Yize in copying some of what DJ Lance does. As I had a really nice PSA where he just asked for just $5. And so that money that Sitari referred to, about $1,000 in Cash App money, was most of it was $5 pledges. And that may not seem like a lot, but the by virtue of the fact that we got over $1,000 and then Cash App money, that's a lot of different people, hopefully new people, making contributions to the station and making sure that hopefully we expand our base. Now, the bad thing about Cash App is that we don't collect phone numbers or emails, but it's okay. We're just getting them in the habit of using Cash App and supporting WPFW. Other than that, we have our drive as Sataria stated coming up. And we look forward to hitting or reaching over goal and doing well on that. And Tom will have a report on the finances, so I won't go much further than that on that. As Katia stated yesterday, today's Wednesday. Monday's special day of programming was really interesting, very important. I received a call today from someone from South Carolina asking me how they could get a recording of it because they live in South Carolina. And similar things are happening down there, and they wanted to have the benefit of hearing some of the information from the various hosts and guests how they can go ahead and avert it. So we are making a difference. We are touching people's lives, and hopefully we are changing them for the better. I'll leave it at that, and if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them.
All right. You've heard the report from our interim general manager, Mirky Williams. I'll take a stack at this time. Any questions for Mirky? Member McLean, go ahead. You have the floor.
Hey, Mirky. Thank you for your report. I definitely feel like the FBI investigation is disturbing. And I guess my only question is if you're willing to keep us, updated. I don't know if it's something that has to remain confidential since it does involve Homeland Security and FBI, but, that's just really disturbing and concerning. So if you're able to keep us updated and if there's any way we can support that investigation, please let us know.
Did you hear the cyber attack?
I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. The report was given to the FBI because the FBI are the ones who are going to investigate later. But we also had a report to this FCC within 24 hours. And once we did that, they requested a meeting, and it was the FCC and the Homeland Security. So I haven't spoken to the FBI. The FBI never responded last year when we had the other major cyber attack. So I'm not very hopeful about that. But I was happy that the FCC was at least interested. They asked mostly Mo questions technologically, what occurred and how we're going to avoid it in the future. And I was happy that they were somewhat interested in what happened. And it appeared, and this is my own summation from the conversation, that the person that they're going after is somebody who has done this to other places. And they were familiar with his MO and what he's done, or he or she has done before.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear that there's some precedents and easier to potentially take them down. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Member Williams.
Yeah, just quickly. When exactly did this happen?
Okay? This happened on Sunday, September 7th, around 4:49 during Miles's show. Okay. You can't hear it on the archives. It's not recorded anywhere because it was terrestrial radio, and that's mm-hmm. not recorded on the archives when we take the archives from the stream. So mm-hmm. unless we have a few seconds of it, because Frenchie was in the studio and Mo had a forethought to say, hey, can you record it? But because Mo worked so quickly and effectively, by the time we told Frenchie to record it, it was almost already off.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Member Hyland, you have the floor.
Yeah, hi. So the last month during our LSB meeting, we had a little incident right at the very beginning. Have we looked at that recording to see if there may be any traces and maybe it's the same person?
I did not do anything or share that because a Zoom interruption isn't the same as doing it on air in terms of public interest and things like that. That's a personal Zoom meeting. Even though I started to mention it today's meeting, I didn't. Maybe I could send an amended portion if people think that would make sense, that we've been both mm-hmm. our finance committee meetings as well as our LSB meetings have been Zoom bombed, but that's different than interfering on air, public airways.
Yeah, well, I was just curious. Maybe there's some connection there. It's the same guy or something. I don't know. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Thank you, Detective Hyland.
No, I do, just to kind of piggyback on what Art is saying, I do think that would be helpful. So we can share, I mean, the recording is posted at KPFTX. So if they want to pull that down or take a look at it, it's there. So
thank you.
And there's probably similar language between the two. Member Tingling Clemens and then Member Lane in that order. Michelle, you have the floor.
Yes. This is just a general comment. I just wanted to, and I don't know if they're all still on, but I just wanted to commend the staff on a somewhat outstanding job. I mean, I think we may take some of it for granted, but from the reports that I read and from the report that I'm hearing, I just want to commend all the staff on doing an excellent job in this challenging times, like they're ever not challenging, but particularly now.
Thank you very much, Michelle, for your kind words and always for your support and the work that you do on the LSB. And it's, two ways. It's not just, you know, the work that you all, that we do. It's the work that you do, and we're all serving community. And so thank you so much.
Thank you. Member Lane, you have the floor.
Yes. Miyuki, has there, and to the committee chairs as well, has there ever been consideration of requiring people to register for the meeting on Zoom? Because Zoom can have you register and then you get the link after you register.
Let me go ahead and interrupt that, because all the meetings are open, Ambrose, and technically to have registration would be to kind of reveal the individuals that are on the or in the meeting. It's one of the things that we don't do as an organization is have a requirement for folks to leave their name as a registrant. So we can look into maybe registering as maybe an email or a phone number. I'm not sure if you can do it that way, but registrations typically restrict the meeting, whereas we're technically supposed to have open meetings. I think is where the organization is right now.
You can design the registration so you're only capturing the email, not necessarily the name and number.
We'll look into that for sure, if that's the case.
Okay.
Did you have something to add, Miyuki?
No, sir. You got it. You did better than I would have.
Member Hirsch, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just want to caution that I've run a bunch of Zooms. We've been Zoom bombed, and you get like xxx@xx.com or something like that. So it doesn't really help. If somebody's determined to make jerks of themselves, it's very difficult to keep them out. But we'll try to respond very quickly when they do hit us and make it so they don't get to enjoy being jerks.
Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate the protection. And this was slightly different in that it was advertising a YouTube. I forgot to share that whatever was on the loop was advertising a YouTube channel. I did not hear it. A couple of the different programmers or listeners called me and told me, but I never caught whatever the YouTube channel was that they were advertising. So as opposed to being, I mean, it may be a pornographic one. I don't know. But I know that the photo bombs were different in that they were directly, very aggressively, you know, sexual and porn. This was a lot of hate speech.
This is Michelle Thomas. I heard it and I called into the station. As you said, it was an emergency. Then the N word over and over. It had a music background of Congo drums, and the website, the YouTube site, was something like Grim. GRIM, and it was like, join my YouTube channel, Grim, but I couldn't get the second part to that. And there were, you know, other things like, some mentioning about welfare and let's take them out, was one of the, recurring. And it was a loop, as you said, so it kept going and going, but I don't think someone besides myself probably as well had to notify the station, because I don't think, you know, Miles didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, because we can't hear what's, right. I mean, unless you check, we have a button where you can check to hear what's on air, but we had no reason to check because as far as he knew, we were just broadcasting. He didn't know it was interrupted.
Right, exactly.
But thank you for calling. And thank you for giving me those details. No one else is giving those additional details.
Yeah. Yep. I don't mind, folks that want to add something, just go ahead and raise your hand as you, address the chair so we can call on you properly. But thank you, Michelle Thomas. Miyuki, I have a question. So on your point eight key priorities going forward, prepare for leadership transition with continuity in mind. So where are we with the transition? Is that something that the executive director is still working on? Where are we with that?
Yes, there are several candidates that have already been looped. They being Pacific extended the search till 12/31. But there's several candidates that have already applied that she has already she being executive director has already spoken to. But it's going to not close out till 12/31, in part because, some of the other stations did not have them properly posted. in order to cover us, cover ourselves and make sure we're doing correctly, doing things correctly in terms of EEOC rules and all that other things, they extended the time. But, you know, after the 31st, it should be done and start speaking to, other candidates.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for our interim general manager? All right. Hearing none. Thank you so much, Miyuki, for your report and your service.
And I'll see people on, what's it, on Saturday, right? At your meeting.
Yeah, go ahead and give that,
Okay. Yeah. There's an LSB town hall this Saturday at Busboys and Poets in Brookland, and looking forward to seeing much of the community and the rest of you there as well. I think it's really important that, especially in this time, that we come together, both in terms of the spirit of the season, but also the spirit of community and the work that we do. So see you all there.
All right. Thank you. All right. We have our finance committee report from Tom Chase. Tom Chase is here. You have the floor, sir.
Great. Well, good evening, everyone. I sent my report out last evening, or yeah, I think so. Anyway, but the bottom line is we came up short in November on revenue, and by a fair amount. I believe there may have been a big fundraiser last fall for relocation or something. But, you know, we had a good October. So right now we're off net revenue by about $37,000 for the year. So we're looking to have a strong December to make some of that up. But essentially on the revenue, on the expense side, it's just a typical month. We settled the Pepco. I mentioned last month we were disputing a Pepco bill because of the power outage we had over the summer. So we settled that for about a month and a half of abatement on our electric bill. So essentially October we didn't pay, and November's was about two-thirds of what we would normally pay in a month. You know, that's the high point. I mean, the biggest thing is we're just a little short. We had a really strong fall last year. And the revenue projections for the month, and in the report and the statement of activity, you see, budgeted out by month. That's essentially, the revenue from last year's fiscal year month, plus 3%. So, you know, it wasn't any kind of like, forecasting around the types of fundraisers or different things we'll do. It just, you know, without the history, just said, okay, let's do, you know, overall for listener, contributions, we said we would do 3% increase. So each month over last year, it just increased to 3%. So again, that's the high point. We got a, you know, work to do. I'm not worried yet. It's still the first quarter, only the second month in. But it's behind where we were last year. I'll take any questions. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom. You heard the finance report, from Treasurer Chase. I'll take a stack. Any questions for Tom? Well, Tom, I'll ask the same question I think I always do at this time. Is there anything coming from the National Finance Committee in way of consolidated financial reports?
No.
All righty. And I did see the report from the executive director. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. She has a update on the audit down at the bottom. Is there any other color you could add to that particular statement that she has there, or does that kind of speak for itself where we are?
Yeah, I would let her speak for herself.
Thank you. I see, Anita, I think that's, Member Adams, you have the floor.
I didn't have a comment or question, except, wait a minute. Did I hear Tom say that this was just the first quarter? What was that last thing? He wasn't worried because it was the first month of the quarter. I didn't understand what he said then. And just sure. Let you know that I am here, so you can mark me present.
Thank you. Ellen will do that. Tom.
Yes, our fiscal year started October 1st. So we're in our first quarter of the fiscal year. And the second, November was the second month of the, you know, of the fiscal year. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Great. You bet.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Tom? All right. Hearing none. Appreciate your report, sir. Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
All right. We have, Member Diamond, chair of our community outreach committee. She will address us now. I think, Tingling Clemens, Member Clemens, did you have, something you wanted to say?
There were just two items in the printout that I saw. What I just wanted to know. What were the grants and what was the underwriting?
Tom, the grants and the underwriting, what's going on there?
Yeah. So far this year, we haven't, recorded any grants. There may be some, underwriting money that has come in, but that is still, sort of ad hoc. We're working to get the sort of formal, comprehensive underwriting program launched. And certainly by the next meeting of the LSB, we'll have more to tell you about that. We're getting very close. But we haven't been out aggressively selling that yet until we've got the processes and all of the elements we need to process at scale. And we're getting close on that. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I'll work it out, but thank
you. The numbers you're seeing there, Michelle, I think is what Tom is trying to say, is that what he does on his financial reporting is use the actuals plus the rest of the remaining budget to kind of project out where we might land at the end of the year. So he has not removed any of the underwriting or grants at this point. At this point, we're still expecting the full budget to come in, is what he's doing there. So it's not an actual number. It's still the budgeted total when you look at that projected. I think that's what you're talking about.
And we may have gone over this before, but are we on – what is our fiscal year? Is it – it's not the calendar year, or is it – or is it
no.
September?
We run October 1 – to September 30. It's the it's the federal fiscal.
Gotcha.
Yes, and most of the income and expenses for the things like grants and not so much the underwriting, but the grants and the in-kind services are all sort of, if you look at the month-by-month spreadsheet, uh-huh. They're all kind of in September at the end of the year. So I didn't even try to say, like, when would those come in? Because pretty much the expenses offset the income from the grants and the in-kind services. So, but the underwriting, we do need to get moving on because we need to get that throughout the year, not, and we need to work for that. Anyway.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Tom?
I do. Can you hear me?
Who is this?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Michael. This is Michael Byfield.
Okay. Okay. Welcome. You're on the phone, I take it?
Uh, Yeah, I'm mobile. I have been in the meeting since the beginning, but when I'm driving, it's really difficult to participate in the way I want to. However, I have a question. Maybe Tom can answer some of these. The first one being underwriting. We do receive a grant every year from the diversity fund. You're not talking about that, right?
That's included in the total projected grant funding is what we typically get. So, but we haven't received any of that money yet. But we look forward to it.
But when we say underwriting, because that's a foregone conclusion that I know that we've been dealing with for probably over 2 years by now. When you say underwriting, are we looking into other types of underwriting? And what are those?
Right. So I guess specifically when we're talking about underwriting now, it's about getting an on-air announcement. Right. It's the kind of, this station is supported by, Birchmere or, florist or dentists or, we'd like to cast a wide net. But we're working out the language, but ultimately, the station management will have the final decision on who, gets to be an underwriter. They have to share our values, as a station. We're very clear what our values are and what we stand for. And, we wouldn't want anybody to underwrite that didn't, support those. So, we have been getting money, and Miyuki, I think, just texted me something. Yeah, in terms of, really being able to, operate a underwriting, program like, most public, radio stations have, where you hear consistently, those sort of underwriting spots. And we want to get there where, we sign a contract and commit to a certain number of spots and potentially even certain, shows and time slots. And we're able to report back to the organization that we delivered on those things. So we're trying to get all those pieces in line before we and how we're going to invoice that. We're looking to do that through QuickBooks, the way we've got, our accounting system now set up, so we can be regularly invoicing, especially organizations, what we're call sponsors, that underwrite over a period of time, where they have, say, a monthly, they're getting invoiced monthly, that sort of thing. So all those elements we're trying to get worked out before we officially launch the program. But we're working on it fast because we know, the year is moving.
Okay, and lastly, I'm sorry to take up so much time. Are we going to have a year-end fundraiser like we used to have in the past?
I believe that's in the, that's
yeah,
in
let me, the, let me, let me, let me pivot that to, our general manager, the interim general manager. I don't see the program director. So to Member Byfield's question, are we going to have a, end of year fundraiser as we did in the past? You're on mute.
Thank you. Yes. As Sataria announced earlier, our end of year drive will be going from Sunday, December 14th to Saturday, December 20th.
Okay. Great. Does that answer your question there, Michael?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Tom? Got a little flurry there at the end, sir.
A lot of all Catholics there like to sit in the back of the church and wait till... Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Nav. Appreciate it. Thank you for your work. All right. Next up is our community outreach committee chaired by Member Diamond, who is here. You want to go ahead and give your report?
Good evening, everybody. You should have received the report in writing. I'll just give a couple of the highlights of, we talked about the newsletter. Art gave a report at, we met on December 2nd, Art reported on that. And then our main emphasis, of course, you know, is the town hall meeting. And you should have received an email. You may have seen it on the website. Our theme is fighting for community, free airwaves, fighting for community and public radio. And we've had public service announcements, social media, and we hope that you are helping spread the word through your networks. We would like each and one of you, each and every one of you to attend on Saturday from noon to 3 o'clock at Bus Boys and Poets on Monroe Street. That was about it because we wanted to shore up everything, especially the agenda and our run of show, basically. So, yeah, that's about it, unless you have any other questions. And Art has his hands up, and anyone on the committee, please weigh in if I forgot something. Art?
Yeah, just real quick, for the town hall meeting this weekend, we're also having a code drive. So please bring some new or gently used coats with you, and we will make sure they get to the hands that need them. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Yep, that's a good point. All right. You've heard and possibly read, hopefully, the outreach committee report. Yep. And I see Member Williams. Go ahead. Yep. Dennis.
Yeah. Is the coat drive, is it connected with any particular organization? I'm just wondering are we partnering with anybody?
We haven't identified all the shelters, yet. There's a couple men's shelters that we've kind of identified, and then we'll see from there what kind of actual coach we get in, you know, cause it could be a variety, men's, women's, children. So, yeah. but an organization hasn't been ID'd yet. So,
okay, but the main idea is that it would go towards shelters.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. So cool. Folks who are already kind of in need. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any questions for Violetta? All right. Let me just kind of add my two cents in here for the town hall on Saturday. So the agenda was sent around, I believe, early last week. Basically, for those who have typically participated and assisted in this, both LSB members and non-LSB members, the intent was not to kind of replace or, you know, have new leadership there. I know during the meetings, there was a lot of talk of, you know, trying to make sure that what's being done isn't put on those who are not actually LSB members, because it is an LSB event similar to the 5K, that we don't always have folks who are not LSB members kind of handling and carrying the weight. But we do hope and expect that those who have typically been there assisting, and you know who you are, that you're there, that you're being seen, and that your input is still desired and needed as we move forward into Saturday. So there's be some continued outreach to each of those individuals who have assisted to make sure that there's ample opportunities to volunteer. There's tabling needs to be done. There's kind of meet and greets for our guests that come in. And of course, several other things that are going on in terms of that day. It's a 3-hour meeting. So we also want those, because you all are so intimate with the organization, those who are familiar with what we do at WPFW, you may be able to answer questions from listeners or folks who don't or might not have the knowledge base that you have. So please don't take this as an affront or pushing it to the side. It's definitely just making it a bigger tent, a wider tent, casting a larger net to make sure that all people who would like to assist are there. And let's not lose our energy and our kind of staying power just because we may have some roles that have changed or anything like that. So looking forward for a strong showing. This one in particular, we did invite a few organizations, and Free DC will be represented there. As you all know, Free DC has done a lot of work in the district, in and around what's been happening with the occupation. and their reach is pretty far. And so what we're trying to do there is kind of leverage our abilities as a radio station and to better kind of broadcast and give the information that they're doing in other organizations of resistance and what they're doing and let that be known and amplified, you know, through the station. So there's an opportunity there to network and stay close. And at the same time, we want to add membership, you know, so it's a twofold thing there. And of course, we're going to be sharing, through the program director, the interim general manager, our treasurer, they'll all be sharing and reporting. And of course, we'll also have our national board, chair, Susan Young there as well, sharing information as with regards to the bylaws. So it's a kind of all encompassing event, really to build stronger relationships within the community and also to give our members, you know, explanations of where we are and what we're trying to do as an organization. So I hope that makes sense. Anybody else on the committee want to chime in terms of what's happening on Saturday? All right, here.
Well, I'm just
okay. Wondering. Member McLean, go ahead.
Go ahead, Verna.
No, mine was really brief, and you have already addressed this. Is it going to be on Zoom so that people can across the country?
Yes, the Zoom is posted. You'll see the Zoom link at kpftx.org. You'll also see the Zoom link on the website for the station. And I can have Ellen send that link out to everybody here after the meeting as well.
Okay, thank you.
We want you present though, Verna.
I know. I was thinking about some of our colleagues at the other stations that might want to tune in.
Okay.
In Texas and California, et cetera. I'll be there.
All right. Thank you so much. Member McLean, you have the floor.
I was just going to share that I believe setup is at 11. So if anyone wants to come from the board and just kind of help set up, that might be a good opportunity for folks to come together and just assist.
Yep. Thank you for that. Yeah. 11 a.m. on Saturday. I believe it's 625 Monroe Street Northeast, right there over there by, the Basilica, I guess that is off of Michigan Avenue. So, all right. And it's Brooklyn Metro accessible as well for those who aren't driving. You can get, about a two block walk from the Metro. Any other questions, concerns, thoughts for the outreach committee and or the town hall? All right. Hearing none, we have some time we made up here. So what we'll do before we get to community comment at 8 o'clock, if we're okay with that, I'll ask the body. We'll hear from our PNB directors. Any objection to hearing from our directors prior to the community comment? All right, no objection. I do see Member Goodwin's hand. Sue, go ahead. And you're here now. Great. Sue, you have the floor.
Okay.
You're on mute.
Hello, colleagues. It's a privilege to be with you. And it's been quite a day, and ended with the U.S. seizing an oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. And what I am proud of is that we managed to cover that. We got it in the last newscast. And what I want WPFW listeners to know is that they can rely on us to cover breaking news. I feel this is very important, so they don't switch to other stations. They know that we will cover it, and we did it. WBAI carried that newscast, and I believe KPFA may have also covered that newscast. So we were there. There is talk to KPFA afterwards, and there is interest in other stations perhaps carrying our newscast. So I will be exploring that. Which is all a way to bring more attention to our station. In addition to that, as you know, this news department produces the weekly email called In Case You Missed It. This is a way for listeners to learn about what the shows in the previous week, what programmers, public affairs programmers carried, who they talked to, what was their content. And I'm happy to say we switched to a new platform called Constant Contact. And through that platform, we will be able to include significantly more emails that we can mail to and more programs that we can include on that email. So we just switched last week, I believe, and we're very happy about that. I think that's about it.
Yeah, thank you for that, Sue. I forgot that your news report was also part of the distribution. So any questions for Sue and the news department? We'll try and carve that out as an actual agenda item next time.
Okay.
Kind of have it folded underneath the program directives, but we'll carve that out. Sure. Member Lane, you have a question?
Yes, I do. Sue, I wanted to get your opinion. What do you think of secular talk?
Can we help me on secular talk? Is that the literal or is that like an actual platform? What are we talking about?
Oh, that's a platform.
That's a platform.
Gotcha. All right. Go ahead, Sue. What's your?
I'm not actually sure what that is.
Okay. It is it comes on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. It is done by Kyle Kalinske. And he, gets bits and pieces of news from so many various different sources. I mean, it is absolutely fantastic. In fact, it's so good that I'm tempted to even run clips of it on my program. But the problem is that he curses like a sailor. So I can't put him on, but the information is bona fide and it is top notch. The reason I'm asking is because, I'm wondering if there is news, if there is room for a Kalinske report without the cursing, periodically. I mean, I know that you do your news report, about every 2 hours, I would say. On WPFW? Is it every 2 hours?
No, I think it's top of the hour. Sue, you're muted, but I believe it's top of the hour.
It's every hour from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Right. Okay. 1 to 5. But there are news segments that can be, chiseled in some other, time frames as well. Not just 1 to 5, because some of the news that we're hearing on news, I mean, it's coming out a mile a minute. And, even though I think that you all do an excellent job, it's still from 1 to 5. And there are other times in which news can be run or different types of approaches to news that can be run. So I would invite you to, go on YouTube and just listen to some of the videos of Kyle Kalinske, and Secular Talk. And, just tell me what you think, because I think that he's very popular. I mean, I remember a time when, and I don't mean to be taking up time, Kamal. I remember a time when Rachel Maddow was considered very progressive. She ain't now, but you know, I'm just saying. But he is extremely progressive and he lets it all out. I mean, it is good information and it's sourced. He always lists his sources. So I would just suggest that because I think that the more we do news, I think that we will gain more listeners, especially if we do it you know, your segment even expanded, or whether or not we bring in somebody like Kyle Kalinske and do a short segment, no more than a couple minutes, but we run that at different times in the day and in the evening. And so that's my suggestion.
Yeah.
Ambrose, I would like to talk to you further about this. I will absolutely go to that website and look more at that, because sources are really important to us. Yeah. So that we have a wide variety of sources and not just the sources that you see in legacy media. But so thank you.
Yeah. That, I just looked it up. So that's a YouTube channel. So it's a little bit more like a research tool. I don't know if you necessarily want to play Kalinske over the air, but
no, you can't.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so good.
But you good, can laugh. You can laugh. That's for gotcha. Sure.
Good suggestion. Sue's going to look into it. So, we'll go from there. Remember
yes,
Byfield.
I will.
Yes. I hear you there. Go ahead.
Yes. On the 29th of August, Norm Portner, in his news report, called Maduro and Putin dictators. This is not the first time. And in the past, I've heard that from, this news department, as if we're basically just ripping AP wire and rereading it. And I think as alternative news, let me just say this. Vladimir Putin, dictator as the mainstream media may put him, when they went to war in Ukraine on the 24th of February in 2022, got 30% of the Politburo voted against it. When we went to Iraq illegally, which was illegal by UN standards, one person in the U.S. Congress voted against it. Her name was Barbara Lee. So I expect our news to be a little more objective in terms of when they hear biased news, to be able to not just read the script that's on AP Wire, since we are projecting an alternative image. And I just wanted to add that as some constructive criticism, because I hear it a lot on our news. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you, Member Byfield. And Member Kiasi, you have your hand. You have the floor now.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We got you. Loud and clear.
Just a clarification. Barbara Lee voted against invading Afghanistan, not Iraq.
Duly noted. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Yep.
Thank you, Bob.
Important detail. Very two different things. Absolutely. So, all right. Any other questions before we move forward? We have about 11 minutes before time certain here, and I'm trying to kind of navigate a few things. I feel like our PMB director's reports might run a little bit longer than 10 minutes. I know our program committee had a meeting the other day. Who's talking?
Come out. I do respond to that, because we do not be from my job. We did discuss that, and we did hear about that, but we are not just ripping copy from AP. I want to assure you that 100%. I consult on every story. I usually consult 5 to 10 sources. It's incredible investment of time and checking, but that is not how we do our job.
Understood. Thank you for the clarification. I'll bring it to you all. We can hear from our program committee at this time, and then go to community comment and hear from our directors on the other side of community comment. Or we can have our conversation about what we need to until we get to 8 o'clock. But that's my proposal, to hear from our program committee at this time. Any objection to adding that or making that change? All right, hearing none, let's have our program committee report. Member Sanders is the chair. Member Sanders, are you prepared to give your report from the program committee?
Why don't we just go ahead and ask members of the committee that would like to share something. We did have the meeting regarding the information we would use to listen to the programmers, and that was David's document. And so I'm still having problems with my systems here. So, Mike, would you have something to say? Or, David, do you want to talk? We'll go that way.
Okay, but this is the program committee report, just so we're clear. Is that what we're doing?
Correct.
Okay, all right, great. Member Hirsch, you have your hand. Go ahead, the other floor.
Yeah, thank you. Most of our meeting was taken up with discussion of the program committee feedback form, and I posted that to the chat if people want to take a look at that. And it's gone through a few reiterations, and we've taken some constructive criticism and worked with the PD to make sure that it was in a form that she could use. And I think we're pretty much ready to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down on that form if people want to take a look at that and look that over. And if you have any questions, I think David, again, thank you, David, for taking it onto yourself or rolling up your sleeves and getting this done after, you know, my understanding is a few years of discussion. And now we've got a work product that we can vote on whether to approve or maybe, you know, tweak it a little bit more. But I think it's in pretty good shape now. And that was pretty much our program committee meeting.
Member Hirsch, could you give us a little bit of a background as to why the development of this particular feedback form was put in place and then how individuals are supposed to use it in the, you know, going forward, just so folks can have an idea of what we're looking at there?
I do feel like I kind of came into the movie in the middle, but I'll do my best to try to put it together. There's been talk about this for quite some time, and it's a way of making it easier for people to interact with the program director and give her information in a form that she can easily scan and use and, you know, kind of give. And we also wanted people to give objective information about things like sound quality, things like that. And then there's a few somewhat more subjective, in my opinion, but still substantive things, not like, you know, like this host. You know, what's the program director going to do with that? Things like, you know, was the host professional? How did the show go? And if you look at the form, it's pretty comprehensive without being, I think, too burdensome. So that was one of the things we wanted to be sure of. We wanted to make sure that this was something that people could fill out without it being like too exhausting for the person filling out the form. And we also wanted to make sure that the program director would be able to look it over and pretty quickly say, okay, we've got like a consistent problem, say with sound quality on Thursday afternoons or whatever. And so kind of to guide her and help her out and figure out if there's any problem areas. There are also areas where things are going really well. So that's really just about it.
That makes sense. Any questions? We'll take a stack for, unless there's anyone else on the committee that would like to, you know, add some details there. Anyone else on the program committee? All right. Hearing none. Are there any questions for the committee? What I would like, Member Hirsch or Chair Sanders, if you could get that document to Ellen, she can then email it out to everybody and within the LSB so they can evaluate it and give you some feedback. I don't know if we'll be able to, unless you're making a motion here tonight, to accept this document as you know, the tool going forward. If not, then I think we need to give folks time to look at it and then give some feedback.
Yeah, my understanding is that Ellen did send it out to everybody. I'm trying to figure out what day that was so people can find it more easily, but I did put it in the chat.
Okay. All right, perfect. For those who have the document, please, take a look, and we need feedback on that because that committee does want to use that tool going forward. So we want to have consensus and a motion that, that's going to be the tool. And then, once we do that, then it'll be incumbent upon all of us, to actually use it and, support, management in that way with feedback. Member Sanders, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The one thing about the form is we are asking people on the LSB to assist us. The committee has people that have volunteered to be on it, but if there are people on the LSB, they can also listen and help us let the program director know. Well, just let the programmers know as well which ones, you know, they're doing a great job and which ones, you know, that we would be willing to communicate with further if they didn't like something that was put on their form so that, you know, it becomes something that is usable by not just the program committee but by the board. And also, since we don't know what committees are, what's going to be done next year in place, I don't think that's been discussed yet in the LSB.
Okay. Excellent. Duly noted. Thank you. Any other questions or concerns for the program committee? All right, hearing none, we'll open the floor up. We're a couple minutes early, but that's all right, for community comments. So at this time, we're asking any...
I'm sorry. There was a question in the chat that was not addressed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't always monitor the chat. Go ahead.
So I can ask it. Once we have finalized it, will we be able to put it in a fillable PDF?
Are you talking about the form that from the program committee?
The form, yes.
I guess, I'm not as adept at that, but we could find, I guess, somebody who might be able to do it. Ellen, are you familiar with that or?
Yeah, I could do a PDF.
Okay.
I'll send it in there.
She's saying a fillable PDF. I guess that's the ones that you typically get, I guess, from the IRS. They send you those things you can type into it, I guess. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Anita?
Beyond. Okay.
Irene, excuse me?
Yes. Something that, well, not only the IRS, but I think Adobe has a way of doing it.
Well, if you contact me after, you know, the meeting or off, and just email me, and we'll see if we can work it out.
Okay. I can work with you. Thank you.
Sounds great.
I always love learning.
Absolutely. All right. We're at time certain, 8:00. So let's go ahead and open our floor up for community comment and allow our members and our listeners in for any type of question and or comment they'd like to have at this time. So go ahead. And if you want to, if you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand. If not, you can ask for the floor if you're on the phone.
How much time, Mr. Chair?
First shot is 3 minutes, and then you want to come back, same 3 minutes on the second time. Yep. Any questions from our community? I see Carol Wolfley. Carol, you have the floor. 3 minutes. The time is yours.
Thank you, everyone. Let me see. Hi. I just wanted to send a really special thanks to Violeta and everyone on the outreach committee and everyone else with the CAB who are helping to send us information to the governance committee about what outreach and fundraising you're doing at WPFW. And it was really great to see your list and all the things you're doing. I've heard about a lot of the things in the past, but it's good. And I just wanted to tell you, I mean, what the governance committee is doing is trying to look at what all the stations are doing. And we've compiled a list of what everybody is doing. And there's some, you know, things that we're all getting new ideas, and I'll be sending you that list. I think Violeta has some of it. And then we got more from WBAI recently, so that was helpful too. And I think the question that we're going to have, you know, each local station board is, what is the role of the each coordinator, you know, the outreach coordinator and the fundraising membership coordinator? And I know that some of the really active people on your outreach committee and on the chair are staff members. And so the reason that the bylaws, I think, this is my guess, that it was set up that those two coordinators were listeners was because the staff has two elected people to the board, and then six other people who are appointed to the board could also be staff, so that would be eight possible staff people. So the idea was, I think, I'm guessing because I didn't write that or work on that, but I'm guessing that's the reason, is they didn't want it to be more staff than listeners possible. But that being said, that doesn't mean that your chair of your outreach committee could not still be a staff person. It doesn't mean, you know, and I know that some stations have CABs. I think yours has the strongest CAB. And so, you know, the CABs can still continue. And they work under management, and then the and so we'll be sorting out, you know, I think each station will be sorting out.
That's 3 minutes, Mr. Chair, just to let you.
Thank you. Go ahead and wrap up, Carol.
Yeah. So, you know, just figuring out. And I think anybody who has any proposals, please send it to the governance committee about, like, how you would like to see those things configured and on what roles you would like to see for those officers. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Carol is on the governance committee for the national board, so we appreciate her work. Member Byfield, this is community comment. Did you have something? Michael?
No, I'm sorry. That's That was not intentional.
Oh, okay, thank you. Any other comments from the community at this time?
Yes, may I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor. 0065, you have the floor. Yep.
Thank you very much. This is Star from D.C. I have several points, and I'd like to go again, you know, if there's time. First of all, I'm sorry that I came in late to Yuki's report. I understand that she gave a list of priorities, and I just wondered if one of those priorities, and I hope it is, was the resolution of these outstanding grievance procedures from employees, both current and I know at least one that was been terminated. I think this is a serious problem for the station. It keeps everyone who is employed in a state of tension. When is it going to land on them? It raises questions about whether there's efficiency in applying laws. And it also raises questions if it's too much for the manager to handle. I mean, part of a manager's responsibilities is to delegate. And so someone should be coming up with some, at least methodology for resolving this, pretty soon. It leaves the stations liable to lawsuits. I know that, at least one programmer, long time person at the station, raised, you know, I think got hundreds of thousands of dollars in a suit years ago. A Mumia activist who's the head of the Prison Radio Project, Noel Hanrahan from California, got over $1 million. And I've heard stories over the years, as I'm sure others have, of huge payouts from the network for this kind of thing where things were not resolved in a timely fashion. So I'd like to hear a date on that. And I certainly hope it was one of the priorities. And I think that it's really, I think Miyuki's really hardworking and very dedicated, but it raises questions of either efficiency or cronyism or an inability to understand how vulnerable the station is. Because if this is happening in these cases, they may not ever bring suit. But if it creates a pattern, someone might bring a suit. The other question I have has to do with what is the policy regarding editorial comments on air versus an op-ed comment. WPFW is not a line organization, but I think there are differences within the progressive movement on a number of questions. And I know that there are others who feel the same way, where it was disturbed that Medea Benjamin was giving an editorial position for the station. If it was billed as an op-ed kind of thing, an individual comment, I think that's fine. But I think that many of the questions that have been raised tonight, and that were raised actually in community comment, if anybody listened last Friday, have to do with the strong orientation towards a slightly left Democratic Party position at the station. And with regard to that, I would say that Secular Talk, I listened to it. It has over 2 million. This is Kyle Kalinske's show. He's a riot. He does research what he reports on, and he basically, he has 2 million supporters. He's a good source for certain things, but he is definitely not good on any kind of serious anti-imperialism. He's great in supporting the Palestinians, but he doesn't get Venezuela. He doesn't get the whole NATO thrust into the former, you know, or the North Asia, basically.
That's 3 minutes, Mr. Chair, just to let you know.
Okay. But we don't have a representation of positions that are further to the left. And the country's moving in that direction. So I would like another bite later. Thank you. Hello?
Sorry, I'm on mute. I was saying thank you, Star, for that comment. And I have written down here editorial comments versus op-ed. And I will leave that for management to address. I won't pretend to know the answer to that particular question. Are there any other comments from the community? Still taking a stack. Members Byfield and Hirsch, you have your hands up. Is there any particular thing you'd like to address? What's going on there?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we're going to discuss the programmer's grievance process on the agenda. So thank you, Star, for bringing that up. And that point is very well taken.
Thank you, Member Hirsch. Appreciate that. Anyone else in the community? If not, I will let, yeah. Member Byfield?
I'm waiting until community comment is over. My apologies that I had my hand up.
Okay. Sounds great. I will let Star have another bite at the apple if she'd like. I don't see any other hands at this time. So, Star, if you want to finish your comment, you have another 3 minutes there.
Thank you. Well, I have a question. I guess this would go to Miyuki. I believe she made a comment that the executive director of Pacifica has spoken to some of the candidates, and I'm assuming that's for the manager position. I know at least one person who applied according to the first deadline and never received even a confirmation that her application had been received by the station. So I just wondered what is going on with that. The other point that I wanted to make is that this is really a serious issue about the orientation of the station, and they're not being given that much of, not much of a voice to a lot of the people that are doing podcasts that are really excellent. They are just as good as Kyle Kalinske. He tends to be very topical. So if you want your daily news quotient, he is a good person for a lot of things that are out there. He has a good, well-evidenced alternative view within the left of the Democratic Party. But there are people like Ben Norton, there's Breakthrough News. There are actually whistleblowers from the government and the CIA, high-level officials who have podcasts that are constantly commenting on things that could be sourced. And I'm sorry, I appreciate that Sue may have been Sue Goodman. I think she's a political affairs director. I appreciate that she probably has really been doing a lot of work on trying to find alternative sources, but there are a lot of alternative sources within a certain range, and it's pretty clear from my listening station she is not going outside of a fairly moderate, slightly to the left of the Democratic Party range. And this is really serious. We had Chip Goodwin, the programmer on Community Comment last week, saying that, well, anything that said that there was something other than the two parties was ridiculous because the only thing left outside the two-party system was violent revolution. That kicks out the Haitian Revolution, all of that is a neo-colonial, anti-colonial struggles, just about every struggle that has had any meaning in terms of gaining reform, Cuba, you name it, Africa, all of the African national liberation struggles. So there really needs to be some attention to just what is going on politically, that this alternative voice is not exactly highlighted at the station. There's a serious problem there. We're not in touch with a lot of young people. And one of the people who called in on Friday was quoting Intercept, which is an alternative news source. So there were serious issues raised that I thought were very good, and people proposed solutions. And if people are serious on the LSB, I would really urge you to listen to the community comment the last 35 minutes last Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Star, for your comments here. I have down as a feedback or reply back, a particular candidate that you know of never received a call back about their application. So I've got that down as a question. Oh, she's still here. Did you have any feedback on that, or do we need to go to the executive director?
The ED is reviewing all applications and will acknowledge each candidate when she can. The challenges and the obstacles that come in my ability to function and do the day-to-day things are enormous, and hers are infinitely more than what I have to go through. So I know that she plans to reach out to those people who she feels are qualified, could be possibly the next GM, but I know that she hadn't gone to everybody because there's all these things that come up unexpectedly that are hotter fires for her to deal with. But again, we have till the 31st, and after that, in January, she should start talking to people. I think perhaps you should pump it up to her and ask her more specifically what the timeline is. But I know that there's a lot of challenges. There's been a short delay in terms of focusing on all the GMs, but she is doing it.
Okay, so to give an answer for Star, there's a extended deadline, the 31st, and there's potentially everyone will be contacted once the open position closes. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. I assume, yeah, but if you want to bump, if you would like to go to her directly, that's fine. Now, that's the best that I can surmise from my conversations with her about the process.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And then since you're here, the There was another piece he had for you. I don't have it here. It'll come back to me.
The editorial versus op-ed status.
Ah, yeah, the editorial. Sorry, editorial comments versus op-ed. Is that first of all, did you hear that? And how does the station differentiate the two?
I did hear that, but that's more Katia Lane as program director.
So we should filter that to her.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Katia was not able to stay on the full time this evening, so we'll have to filter that. Are you able to do that? Do you want me? We can have Ellen send her an email. That's fine. We can do that. All right. Is that it, Star? I think those are the two things we had to get feedback on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Anything else from the community? I see, Carol has her hand up. She wants another bite at the apple. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, thank you to WPFW and to Miyuki and, to Sue, in the news department for all you did for, New King's Day. I think it was an amazing success, like, nationally. And, part of the issue is, you know, we have two things, like, we're dealing with this amazing upsurge of interest and political interest and the threats of fascism. And at the same time, you know, I know that all of you are struggling to keep WPFW on the air and to have enough money to function and to make the money. So I appreciate that, and I just see amazing potential in terms of our ability to, you know, when there are these huge events, to be out there with our flyers and our banners and, you know, the times that people can tune in and listen and our QR codes and everything. And I just believe it is an amazing major success of what you all and everybody, you know, Pacifica-wide did for No King's Day. And I know there's going to be more emergencies and more issues coming up, and I hope we can continue to coordinate. Thanks.
All right. No Kings. Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Carol. All right. Any other comments from our community? I see a couple of our members still have their hands up, so I'll wait for a second until we hear from other community members.
Could I add one thing while you're waiting?
Yeah, Carol, go ahead.
I just want to say we had a music town hall at KPFA, and it was one of our best KPFA meetings we've had so far. We had musicians, we had music producers and hosts, and musicians from the community come and talk, and then we played some music videos that people had submitted, and it was really appreciated by the listeners and well attended.
Music Town Hall, got it. Yeah, thank you. You had mentioned that before, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anybody else? If not, get my agenda. Any other comments from the community? Going once, twice. If there's nothing else from the community, we'll go ahead and proceed and continue with our next order of business. I see a couple of hands, Member Byfield and Member Lane, in that order. What do you have before we get to our PNB director's report? Member Byfield, you're up.
Hello?
Michael Byfield, you're up, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. You're pushing buttons and everything. What's up?
I'm sorry. The topic is on the agenda, so I won't
take up too much time, but Robert, it's good to hear your voice again. I think you're doing an excellent job of leadership in your efforts. Let me just say that.
Thank you. All right. Member Lane, you're up.
Yes, I just wanted to thank Star for her comments and to say that there's certainly more than Kyle Kalinske. I mean, there's also the Midas Touch. There's about 10 really strong alternative progressive news-type programs on YouTube. There are at least 10. I just mentioned Kyle Kalinske, but there's the Midas Touch. There's about, like I said, my 30-year-old son won't even listen to MSNBC anymore. You know, he won't even eat his dinner because he said he won't listen to it while he eats his dinner. He said it makes him puke. So he listens to, and he turned me on to these alternative news sources. And so, and Kyle Kalinske is based here in D.C. And if he has 3 million followers and we're able to even get a small segment of his on WPFW, those 3 million followers come to us.
Understood. Understood. I think Sue heard the calls and I think she is going to try and attempt to, maybe filter some of that in. It's going to take time. Won't happen overnight, I'm sure. But, you know, let's see if, we can work with, Sue on that going forward. Okay.
There are some others too. And I'm saying that that's a broader audience because yes. if we mention them, they'll mention us.
Absolutely. No, that's a good point. Perfect point, actually. All right. Let's go to our next order of business, which is our P&B director's reports with questions. I'll go in alpha order again, starting with Member Hewitt. Do you have anything from your director's position you'd like to report here tonight?
Yeah, we met on December 4th. It was a relatively short open session because we needed to have a longer closed session. And maybe there'll be some stuff to report later about what that was about. Though I can't tonight. So mostly what we did was we heard committee reports. We passed the KPFA budget. The other thing we did was because, we put me on the National Finance Committee, directors elect directors on committees, not LSBs. And, because Dennis had been on the National Finance Committee, but, resigned so he could serve on the Personnel Committee, we didn't have anybody, representing PFW. So now I'm on the, National Finance Committee. I'll just report quickly that the National Finance Committee took up the, and I'm hearing background noise from someone I can't tell.
Hold on 1 second for me, Julie. Member Byfield, you got to mute, yeah. Sir. You're coming through. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Julie. Thanks.
At the NFC meeting that was just Tuesday yesterday, we took up the national office budget. And then that will go to the P&B, but the one outstanding budget is the WBAI budget. And by the time we finish with that, then we'll have everything taken care of in terms of finance. We tried to make some movement on, releasing consolidated financials because we've had some that we just haven't like voted that we could release yet to LSBs. And I think the problem is that somebody brought it up, but they brought it up after the meeting adjourned. So we didn't quite get that item done. Other things, what the audit committee met about is in the ED's report about interviewing some audit firms. And the governance committee passed a motion about basically how to submit bylaws amendments if people are interested in doing that. And so I'll read it quickly for you. Bylaws amendments submitted to the Pacifica, and then I'll, I'm sorry. I'm going to read it fast, but I'm going to then send this to people in email so you can see the whole thing. You don't have to try and write it down as I say it. But bylaws amendments submitted to the Pacifica Governance Committee must have preliminary endorsement by six directors or include a 5% member petition for consideration by the Pacifica Governance Committee and the PNB. They must be in full bylaws proposal form, including the article number and section text with underlines for additions and strikeouts for omissions. That for any properly submitted amendments, the Governance Committee will review, consider, and forward to the PNB within 45 days of submission. Amendments not in the proper form will be announced as such in a Governance Committee meeting, and an email will be sent to the submitter informing them of the deficiencies. Amendments must be submitted at least 1 week prior to a Governance Committee meeting, and this motion will be effective immediately upon passage and will cease to be in effect, i.e. will sunset with the seating of the Pacifica National Board Directors in about January 2027. So that's the motion, and that passed the PNB. And like I said, I'll send that to everybody so they can read it without my failing to take a breath in there. I would recommend that people, you know, kind of routine, because we've been sending out the shareable, the open session version, if you will, of the ED report. I would highly recommend that people read that. I mean, this month is, you know, one page long. So, you know, she typically tries to keep them pretty brief, and it's kind of in the, you know, reading of them from month to month that you have a better sense of what's going on in the broader foundation. And with that, I'll stop and invite my colleagues to supplement. And if you're talking, Kamau, you're muted.
Anything you'd like, thanks, Julie. Anything you'd like to bring Member Pinch back to the body this evening?
Nope. That was a comprehensive report by Julie. Thank you, Julie. And I have nothing to add.
All right. Member Sanders, anything you'd like to add in terms of the happenings at the PNB?
No, other than to say that they are looking for information from the LSBs as to what their stations are planning to do for the 2027 when we go in with setting up our new bylaws and stations, what the stations are looking like, so on and so forth, and still asking if there are any additional questions that the PNB chair can address. And it'd be good to see the list that we have for Saturday. Thank you. I'm sorry, a list of questions, excuse me.
Yes, yeah, I think that's right. And Member Williams, anything you'd like to bring to the body this evening with regards to the PNB?
Quickly, yeah, I agree that Julie covered it. The one thing that we did last week was pass that proposal from the Governance Committee that sets up the requirements for any proposal to discuss any possible changes to the bylaws during the coming year, which actually makes it more difficult to try and discuss any potential changes. The other thing that I should mention, I know it's on the agenda later, is that the question of the grievance procedure still rests, as far as I can tell, with the executive director. It has not reappeared on the PNB agenda, and therefore the PNB has not discussed it in the last several months. I don't know what the I know the ED has a whole bunch of other stuff that are probably taking precedence, but so that's a short answer to the for the discussion we're going to have in a few minutes. That's it.
All right. Thank you all so much. I will take a stack for any of our directors at this time. You have four directors that represent WPFW on the national board. So Michael, member Byfield, you're up first. You have a question for our directors.
And Kamal, was one thing I was going to add if I.
I got you there. Yep. I didn't even see your hand. Wow. Okay. Yes. Please add what you have.
So, you know, one of the things we heard in community comment was a question about, I mean, it's kind of related to this grievance process thing and payouts to people who sue. And I just want to say that, typically, you know, settlements like that are, secret. And secret means rumors fly. And what I can say is I know of no settlements that were, you know, tipped the $1 million threshold. But one of the things I'll try and do is find out from the executive director if we can, you know, kind of like make a statement about what kinds of things have happened. Things haven't happened recently. And so, but, you know, this may be something from the long ago past. Any rate, it's good for people to know because people don't want to donate to, you know, bad behavior that results in a payout, right? And so, so it's important for donors to know stuff like that. So I will commit to trying to find out the answer to that. So just wanted to share that. Sorry. Thanks.
No, I appreciate that. That was from a listener. So that's important to address. Any questions? We'll take a snack at this time. Any question for our directors? I have a question, I guess. So I don't know, and maybe this was said at another meeting, but on the audit update, searching for a new audit firm, was there a report out as to what happened to the old audit firm? I don't know if we ever received that here and, you know, what actually happened. I don't know. I think Member Sanders is the chair of that committee. Was there something that came down as to what happened to the former audit firm?
That information was given in closed session, and that has been about maybe 2 to 3 meetings ago. And no information was given other than to show what the old firm, I'll just share this much. The old firm was presented as being, failing to do a proper audit. And they responded with, number one, they're not, going to go back and forth on that because they know better. And that rather than get their name out across the internet with this type bad information regarding them, they chose not to continue. So that was the statement that was given to us. And more information, once we've given the okay to, we've got a group and this was what was done before, and then we'll be able to share that part of it. But that's as much that I would be able to share right now. So we're still looking, and I understand we have some good prospects.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other questions? I see Member Dixon Briggs, you have a question?
Less of a question, more of a comment. Just want to let basically everyone know that the legal appeals of the what I will refer to as the draconian new bylaws is in effect, so they are being appealed. Just an FYI.
All righty. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Any other questions for our directors before we get to time certain? Member Avery Brown.
Yes. Minerva mentioned something about the PNB waiting for feedback from the LSBs on the bylaws. How is that intended to be gathered? I mean, is there a special format or process that you want to get that information from us for?
No.
And what's going to happen with it once it's obtained?
No, what she corrected herself and said, there are questions from the LSB for Saturday's meeting with the chair of the national board. I think that's more so what she was asking for. I set up a Google Doc that I thought might be useful. There wasn't much response there. I did put out an email. I think one member responded with a few questions there. But we're just trying to compile questions ahead of time that would hopefully help drive the conversation on Saturday. And I think that's what Member Sanders was alluding to when she said, to discussion on the bylaws.
I'm sorry, with all due respect, Chairman. Is that what you were referring to, Minerva? Because I got the impression that you were asking for something more.
Minerva, Member Sanders, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think Kamau provided the best information because this question was asked several LSB meetings ago, and he did put together the Google document for people to send in information. And as he said, I was just encouraging them, individuals, to get their questions out there that you have for the PMB chair.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for our directors? I see a couple of hands. I think they're legacy hands, so I'll just double check. Member Byfield, did you have a question? Michael Byfield, going once. Member Hewitt, did you have a question or is that a legacy hand? Or do you have a comment?
I have a question. I'm on the phone, but I couldn't raise my hand.
Who is this, Member Curtis?
No, this is Gus Griffin. I'm a member, but I wanted to make a comment.
Mr. Griffin, this is the community comment was from 8 to 8:30.
Okay.
If you hold on 1 second, let me clear the stack, and then we have a little bit of time before we get to our next agenda point.
Okay.
And I'll come back to you. Okay, so 1 second.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Julie, you took your hand down. Okay. And then I'll try one more time. Member Byfield, going once, going twice. All right. I didn't catch your name again, sir. Could you give me your name and then I'll go ahead and recognize you.
My name is Gus Griffin. I'm a sustaining member.
Gus Griffin, welcome. What is your comment?
Yeah, I had a concern about some of the news reporting. In particular, the reference to Nicolas Maduro as a dictator in some of the news, in some of the straight newscasts. I'm not talking about the editorial stuff. And the concern was, I come to WPFW, I'm a loyal member, just to not hear that stuff. I expect that from, the Fox and the, what we call lamestream media, but I didn't expect it from WPFW. I haven't heard it since I submitted my concern. But I wanted to try to get some explanation for that because, again, that's not what WPFW is supposed to be about. And I fear that it is, I fear that it contributes to the pretext that this administration is using to do what it is doing right now. And WPFW shouldn't be a part of that. That's my comment and or question. And I'll mute up to listen to the response.
Thanks, Mr. Griffin. Appreciate that. I think we do have our news director. She's still here with us. Member Goodwin, did you have something you'd like to say with regards to that?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We got you.
Okay. I'm not going to agree with you that the naming of Maduro as a dictator was not the right choice. And we talked with the reporter about that. But I do want you to also know, did you listen to our newscast today at 4:55?
Well, let's go ahead and make your comment. The back and forth, we don't really kind of need that.
Take that as a no. And what I want you to note, that when we made that newscast, we did reference Maduro as saying that Trump's interest in striking that oil vessel was to, was in the interest of acquiring oil from Venezuela. So we did represent Maduro's, viewpoint on that action. And I want that to be noted.
Okay. All right. Well, let's, you know, the information and feedback from our listeners is the most important. So, we respect, Mr. Griffin's coming in and giving that feedback tonight. So thank you for that. And I know that our staff is probably constantly working to titrate and give the best, news product that we can. So thank you for that, Sue, as well. Any other comments for our directors before we go to our relocation committee? All right, hearing none, the relocation committee is chaired by Member Williams. Member Williams, you have the floor.
Thank you. I did submit a report, which I will reprise here briefly. There's also an action item on the agenda. So we have actually spent the last 2 or 3 months pursuing an opportunity that kind of fell into our laps, and we've been vetting and investigating that. It is a rent-to-own possibility at a site that checked a lot of the boxes of what we're looking at. The most recent development was that there was a change in the proposed terms that the committee we met last a week ago last Wednesday, and the committee agreed that the change makes that that proposal that we've been investigating not suitable for us at this time. That's what the committee decided. And so we actually then this two things that we're proposing. One is that the committee still believes that the that we are in a good, secure location for the time being, that we should continue, that, our current rental situation, and, that a future with, a property that, an owned property, would be in the best interest of WPFW and the community that we serve. And so that continues to be a goal. We are proposing, and at the beginning of the year, I came to this board and asked for permission for this committee to function, for the year. And the year is up. And so there's two things that we are proposing. One is that the that this board authorizes the continuance of a relocation committee to continue to receive, explore, seek out and vet opportunities. Ownership opportunities, so that if something comes about, there's a group of basically dedicated volunteers who are sort of on the case, who can sort of move quickly to investigate it and then make appropriate recommendations to this board and to management. I think the committee's recommendation that we is on the agenda to for consideration later in this meeting.
Thank you, Member Williams. You've heard the relocation committee report. Are there any questions for Dennis at this time? Remembering that we do have on our agenda new business the point he's making about the reorganization of the relocation committee. So we'll bring that motion up in new business. But any other questions for Dennis at this time? All right. Hearing none, we will consider that a wrap on our relocation committee. Thank you so much. All right, unfinished business. We last meeting chose Violetta Diamond as the program. Gosh, I forgot the name of the other position. There's two positions that we need to fill during the transition period. We filled one with Violetta since she was already handling outreach. The outreach and fundraising or the outreach piece on the transition. We unanimously nominated and voted her in that position. There's also a membership / fundraising coordinator that needs to be nominated. I didn't have any nominations. We didn't have any nominations at the last meeting. Thank you, Mr. Member Hirsch. So the point is that we need to find some nominations for the membership / fundraising coordinator. I can read out what that position is if you need it. Let me see if I can pull it up. And then see if we can get some nominations. One second. Should have had this. Don't have it. Let me just say it this way then. Essentially, the membership / fundraising coordinator essentially is going to be doing what, it kind of sounds like, handling, the LSB's function or mandate, under the bylaws to go out and increase membership and secure funds and facilitate fundraising, for the station through the, local station board. So we're looking for folks to either nominate somebody or self-nominate for that particular, position, for the ensuing year. They would start in January. Is there any nominations, any questions about what it means to hold that position? We'll have them at this time, but that's what we're trying to do here with our unfinished business is fill that membership / fundraising coordinator position. And as, Carol Wolfley mentioned earlier, it typically is, or it's written in the bylaws that it should be a listener member that handles that particular, position. Yes, Member Dixon Briggs, you have the floor.
I just wanted to the best that you can, without your notes, can you give a little bit more, information?
Yeah, no, give me a second. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Okay.
Too many things in my computer.
And I also have another question. Are we prohibited from nominating someone who is, a programmer? Because it's possible, as Carol said, that you could have an overflow of staff who are nominated, but you could also have no staff who are nominated.
Yeah, there's not a prohibition in there that I read, in terms of the bylaws, but there is a, you know,
like a preference
statement that it should be a listener, but, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure is should be shall or is should be would like, or it's not really clear.
Yeah. Good question.
May I speak to that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You have your
hands on my insight.
Yeah. The way the new bylaws are set up and the elections are held in 2026, that position will be elected directly by the members and it will be a listener. The staff are not, permitted to run for that position. For the transition year for 2026, I don't see anything that would stop us, from if there's somebody on the LSB who is a staff member who would be the best person to carry that out for the next year. I don't see anything that would stop us from doing that.
Excellent.
That's how I read it. Thank you.
That's extremely helpful. So, Chair,
yes.
With that information in mind, I'd like to nominate Verna.
We have a nomination for membership/fundraising coordinator by member Dixon Briggs of member Avery Brown. Verna Avery Brown, do you accept the nomination?
Oh. I'm sorry, but I was slightly distracted as to what the duties are responsible for that position.
Well, last month we had that question brought forward. It is not clear in the bylaws what that responsibilities and duties hold. So what we determined last month was that based on the title, there would be someone would have to build in or build up that particular function as a way as they see fit and the way that the rest of the body sees fit for them to operate. So you're kind of a blank slate if you wish to accept your nomination.
So Chair, before Verna answers, can I give my reason as to why I think she would be good?
Yeah, you can motivate. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So Verna and Chair, I believe that she would be excellent because Verna's been around for decades, I think 30 years in various capacities, both Pacifica at the national level and now on the local station board. And when we, various members of the LSB, have undertaken tasks to outreach. Hey, let's contact people for X, Y, or Z reason. I have witnessed Verna on any number of occasions, contact 10 times. She knows, has ongoing relationships with, is familiar with, just has a wealth of relationships and information about, so many members, programmers, et cetera, et cetera. So, I think it's unusual. I've just seen Verna in action as compared to the knowledge that I and others have about members and programmers, et cetera, whomever we would be outreaching to. And I have just been amazed at her knowledge. So even though the duties of the position aren't really spelled out, it, as you said, Chair, it could be something that is built. I think Verna comes prepared. She comes ready with knowledge about members and programmers that I think it would take others of us, you know, some time to build. So that's my reason for nominating her.
Vanessa, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chair.
No, I was just going to say thanks for that. And then if you would hold that, I got a few hands before well, actually, let me do this. You've been nominated. Let me see if you want to accept that nomination before I go to this.
I appreciate your words, Vanessa. I sincerely do, and some of that's true and some of it's not. I'm just not sure. I really want to see what this position would require of me in terms of time, because my time is very restricted these days. So, I don't know. Can I say a tentative yes or
no?
How does that? Okay.
Then we're that way.
Well, can you give her the duties? Can you at least, and I guess other people might have questions.
I will read from, I found it. This is section 12 transition under, what's the header here? Wow. This is a big section of the bylaws here. Wow. It doesn't have any.
It's Article 3.
Who's that?
It's Article 3. It's
yes.
Julie. It's Article 3, which is members of the foundation.
Right. Okay. Bingo.
Can I ask what section that is, Julie?
Well, Kamau said section 12 transition, and I'm just saying that's in Article 3. And if you're looking at the printed bylaws, it's page 16. It starts.
Right. Yeah, so it does not have like a job or a description of the position that I can read here. So don't know. This might be tricky. Says here, local station board transitions. The membership composition of the local station boards remains the same until January of 2027, with the seating of the local station board members elected in 2026. The current LSB chairs, vice chairs, and secretaries continue to hold their current positions during the transition period. The LSB, this is the important part here, the LSB members elect from among their members, a membership fundraising coordinator and a community outreach coordinator to hold those positions during the transition period. Does not say anything further. Then goes into vacancies on the LSBs occurring during the transition period are filled by LSB nominations, blah, blah, blah. I don't see a description of what you're supposed to do.
Are there other nominations waiting in the wings to be made?
I don't know. I think Julie was just giving me some direction on where to go in the bylaws. I don't think she has a nomination. Maybe she does. Remember, Hewitt, do you have a nomination?
Yeah, no, this is not about nomination. This was about trying to, you know, figure out what it says. And I have not found anywhere yet where it does elaborate on that. I think, you know, clearly this is a weakness. And, you know, as the committee was, you know, pulling this stuff together, there were constraints on where we could, what we could do. And so we couldn't freelance and add language as much as that might have been, you know, something we thought about doing. I don't remember. I sort of vaguely remember this being a question raised at the time, but we couldn't do anything with it. So anyway, I'll keep looking. Thanks.
Okay. All right. All right, so maybe anyone have a desire to move forward with some nominations? I see Member Pinchback, your hand is up. Go ahead, you have the floor. Ron Pinchback, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just my mute button again. If we don't have any other nominees and Verna wants to consider the position and find out more about the responsibilities, why not put this process in continuance and set it up for our next meeting? By that time, Verna would have had a chance to look at things and for the board to generate other candidates.
So your motion is to continue this item, until when? What's your time? What's it till the January meeting?
Yep.
Is there a
second? I second that nomination. Real quick. I second that.
Okay. Ron, anything further you want to motivate or no?
No.
So you let it stand as is.
Fine. Right now it's common sense.
Okay. Member Williams, you're up.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds good, but we're not going to know anything a month from now that we don't know now. The definition doesn't exist. It's as simple as that. Whoever accepts the position will have to, as you said in the beginning, sort of go with the, this is what it says and this is what, the committee is going to focus on for the next year. A month, there will not be a different answer a month from now to that question. Because it's either bylaws or it's not, and it's not.
Right. Anybody else would like to have a comment there in terms of the motion?
I'll just give Vernon more time.
Okay. I hear your motion. Either way, either it's to get a full definition or to give Vernon more time to consider her nomination. But essentially the motion on the floor for everybody to consider is to table this, I'm sorry, is to postpone this particular unfinished business item until the January meeting. There's a second by member Avery Brown. It's been motivated and responded by two members. Are there any other comments? Member Byfield, I see Member Dixon Briggs, Member Hewitt, and Member Pinchback in that order. Member Byfield, do you have anything? All right. And then the last hand up is Member, okay. All right. This table is clear. So is there anybody who is opposed to the motion as stated? All right. Hearing none, we will have this item postponed until the January meeting. All right. Very well. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I'll have a definitive answer at that time.
Programmer's grievance process. Now I'm going to have a hard time because I've called this member's name several times already. Member Byfield, this is your piece of unfinished business. Are you there? Can somebody call Member Byfield? I don't have his number, but if there's somebody who can call him, this is his particular ask on the agenda and I'd like to have him give his position, but he doesn't seem to be responding. I'll give him a couple moments if someone can get him, and if not, we'll move forward. Member Byfield, you're up, sir. Member Pinchback, you had something? You're on mute.
Can you hear me okay?
Now we got you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One thing is clear. It's the bylaws, excuse me, the grievance situation is going to be determined by Pacifica and its lawyers. That's something that we cannot avoid. We can hope to negotiate, but that's something we cannot avoid. So we can't force the ED to move any faster than she's moving or not moving. So we've been through this debate before. So we all support, you know, the motion. To keep to strengthen these protections, but you know, what do we have a new strategy, you know, in terms of trying to get that done?
Yeah.
So that's my question, you know.
Yeah, I hear your question. I received the agenda item from Member Byfield. He's here now. I'd like to have him tee it up and then we can go from there. So, Member Byfield, you asked for this grievance process to be a agenda item this evening. Could you go ahead and motivate what your thought process was there?
Yes. This has been a very long process that we've been trying to initiate or implement for many, many years. And in our last board meeting, unfortunately, when I brought it up, which is quite unfortunate, one of our P&B representatives very flippantly called a point of order to adjourn the meeting, which I just thought was kind of disrespectful of my efforts and time and all the other members, because I think this is a very serious issue. There was a member in community comment that referred to the exposure that it gives to us to a lawsuit. And I feel the very same way, that that's really what it exposes us to. What I'd rather go to is the importance of this, a committee picked by us, worked very diligently. Some non-board members of the programmers, and several other people put their time and effort into this, and we voted unanimously on this, only to see it kick down the road and treat it as if it's not important. And really, what it does, it places us in a position of a serious danger. As I see it. So if the ED, because obviously our management here does not want to tackle the issue, and I can understand that, you know, we have an interim IGM, we don't have a GM. So I don't have to blame the GM who, you know, the IGM who probably did the best he could in terms of passing it on to the ED who made a decision that this was not something that we wanted to institute when another, I think it's KPFK, already has a process for volunteer. And what that does, it is, you know, it prolongs the injustice of not having people who have a grievance. We've had two or three programmers that have been summarily dismissed, and they have a right to have a hearing. And we're going on two, three years where that is not taking place. And how can we call ourselves jazz and justice? Maybe we should just say jazz and not justice, if that's really what we're practicing. So that's really my plea to the board, that we did the work. Let's respect our efforts or the efforts of others that really worked so hard to put this forward, and make it known that this is a very serious issue to us, because why should we go out and increase membership and raise members when this may jeopardize us paying money in lawsuits?
Yeah.
For something that we could handle, and another station already has a procedure in place that we can use. Thank you very much for your patience, everyone.
Thank you, Member Byfield. There's a couple of hands, and then I'll try to give us something that we can possibly do moving forward. So Member Williams and then Member Hirsch in that order.
Yeah, I would like to echo what Ron Pinchbeck just said, which is to ask if there is some kind of a suggestion, recommendation, or a strategy. This group has already decided. We've determined long ago, as you say, Michael, that this is something that's important. Management did not refuse to implement it. Management was told it was blocked. The national management of Pacifica claimed this as their purview to implement, not the local station. At that point, we're stuck. If you've got a strategy or a suggestion to unstick it from the PNB or the executive director, I support that. I'm with you. You know, making the same point, in this meeting, doesn't get us anywhere.
Thank you. I see, IGM Williams. I'm going to call you member. You are a member. You are technically a member. Go ahead. What is your comment?
Thank you very much, Chair. Mr. Byfield, I really appreciate your sentiment, and I know how hard you all worked on this whole process. But as you know, WPFW, along with the other four Pacifica stations, all work under one EIN number. And so what they're trying to do right now is make all policies across the board the same for all the units. It's taking a long time. We were promised this personal handbook several months ago. It still hasn't manifested, not because people aren't working on it. It's because, again, squeakier wheels or other fires have presented themselves. The attempt is to have all the different stations that are Pacifica work under one umbrella. And in doing so, they have to have one personnel handbook. As Star said earlier, Pacifica has been subject to multiple lawsuits.
Everybody mute. It's not talking.
I'll check
on Biden.
Thank you, though.
Go ahead and wrap up. Yeah.
Okay. Pacifica has been subject to a lot of different lawsuits, in part because there hasn't been a book of regulations that everyone had to follow, and things have been sort of haphazard. They're trying to get things under control and make everything consistent. The attorneys have to look at it all the time, review it, and continue to review it. And in order not to rush and make mistakes, the attorney just takes a long time. And again, other things come up. For example, the attorney was working in the last 2 days with the whole FCC Homeland thing because of the cyber attack on us. Things keep coming up that delay. I've pressed on to the executive director that this is something that we are looking for and that we hope for, but it just hasn't manifested yet. They're working on it, and it'll be coming soon. And once it comes, it'll be something that'll apply to everyone across the board. The station that you referred to is the oldest station. It's been here the longest. And so, yeah, they have some things in order, but they can't be the only one that determines what it is. It has to be reviewed by attorneys. So that's where it is. It's supposed to be coming. I have no more than that. It's not out of disregard of the hard work that everyone here did. It's not dismissing that. It's just trying to unify everyone under the same rules and regulations.
All right. Thank you. I see Member Lane and then Member Dixon Briggs in that order. And then we'll try and wrap this because I think we're going to run up against something that is not doable here from this body. But go ahead, Member Lane.
Yeah, I am kind of caught in between here because I really understand what Michael was saying. I mean, there are people who did a lot of work on this. And even though I could understand that Pacifica needed to create a type of uniformity when it came to grievances across all the stations, I mean, that certainly makes sense. But their process spit in our face. That's what it did. So now we move on from that. I don't see any reason. The grievance procedures and the process that was created by the committee should have value. And I would even suggest that those procedures be sent to Pacifica National, the ED, as a suggestion for a model for the whole Pacifica. That's what I suggest. Now, they can reject it after that. They could do what they want after that. But I would not let the work just die. I mean, it was good work. And they don't have anything anyway, so we might as well send it to them and say, we suggest this as a model for Pacifica to use. In the meantime, if people really feel aggrieved, I wouldn't be against sending a letter stating how the actions of Pacifica and the way that they rolled out making the decision to have a national set of grievance laws or grievance bylaws, whatever you want to call them, really offended the work that the station was doing. There's nothing wrong with saying that too. Matter of fact, I might even accompany that letter with the letter sending the bylaws as a suggestion to Pacifica. I don't think that we need to revisit the bylaws particular to WPFW, because at the end of the day, if someone is aggrieved and they want to file a grievance, it's going to go against Pacifica anyway. If they want to file a lawsuit, it's not against WPFW, it's against Pacifica.
Right.
So, you know, we have to choose which direction we want to go in, but I wouldn't leave it alone.
Sure. I hear you on what I think you almost had a motion there, but I will just stop you. Well, I'll stop you because we have sent that documentation in. That was requested by, the executive director. And so they have all the work that we did, the heavy lifting that was done here has been presented to them as the model. And I think, you know, I'm not in the meetings. I don't know, but I think, they're using that as a baseline, but, they have all the work that was done here locally. So I don't find that motion well received or the attempt of that motion, because that work has been done or that gesture has been made.
Come on. You my boy, you could have stopped me mid-sentence, man.
I'm good, bro. Come on, man.
Just say, we already did that. That's all you had to say.
All right. Remember Dixon Briggs? Remember her? You know, Hirsch's hand is down. Okay. Dixon Briggs, you're up.
Okay. So,
can I interject?
1 second. Yeah. You don't have the floor yet. Let me let Dixon Briggs, and then I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So following the line of reasoning, as I believe I understood from member Byfield, there are some programmers who feel aggrieved. I am particularly interested in those programmers who felt particularly aggrieved by the interim program director who assume those duties while our current program director was out. I'm very interested in pursuing that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. And I'll let, member Byfield close out. I think I'm going to say this. I'll say my piece and then we'll move on, but go ahead. Member Byfield.
I'm sorry,
we have 2 minutes. We got to hold the comments. Actually, this is your second bite at the apples, Michael, so I'm going to give you 1 minute if you could.
Not a problem. Brother Ambrose interjected or suggested, we did send that. That was a recommendation. We did the work and sent it to Pacifica. So yes, they have that in their hand. That's the first thing. The other thing is we have a system here where people continuously have grievances for well over 5 years. Okay, let me say this. When Nightwolf has been gone for 6 years, okay, he has a grievance. Our grievance process would go to back to him if he wants to come and have a hearing, okay? That's what Jazz and Justice is supposed to represent. So just to answer her question, we have a lot of people, and this body experienced some of that. The interim general
manager
was here when
the
last one happened.
That's a minute.
Okay?
Thank
so
you.
I'm just so and that's straying from the topic, because really I think the real issue is that we need to have this in place. I didn't want to pick on those issues. Thank okay, but that exposes us.
Perfect.
Those issues expose us.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, I'm gonna wrap it here on this unfinished piece. What I would just ask, we have four directors. You've heard the grievance or the issue here. We have done quite a bit of work with the actual document. I would hope that our directors would push the needle somewhat in the meetings or at the national body that this is a very important subject for the local station board down here at WPFW. Although we're the last, we're the caboose last to join, we have very important policies that we'd like to have in place. So if you all could make that or consider that as a topic or subject matter for your next agenda item on at the meeting, that would be helpful. So I'll leave it there. All right. So I think that's probably the most bang for our buck that we'll get, that we have four directors that will support that as an agenda item, I think. So, all right, new business. Back to our reorganizing our relocation committee. Right now, the relocation committee is set to expire. So the motion on the floor, and I'll give it to you again from the committee, is to have the to have this local station board continue the committee as a reconstituted standby that will seek, monitor, and investigate opportunities to purchase a permanent home for WPFW with the cooperation and consent of WPFW and Pacifica Management. So the first motion will be whether or not to continue with that actual committee beginning in January. So that's a motion from now. Is there any motivation from the chair about that particular motion you'd like to give before I take a stack?
The position of the committee is I know has been expressed by several members of this board, is that, having a permanent home for the station is a desirable long-term goal. We don't get there through a crisis, you know, waiting until a lease is almost up and running around looking for a place. We get there most effectively by having some people, in place who are, scouting, monitoring the situation, looking for opportunities, on an ongoing basis. It's not necessarily a committee that needs to meet, a couple of times a month or even every month, maybe once a quarter, and speed things up, when things are happening. But to have some people in place who are thinking about this, so that it doesn't become a panic mode situation. That's the position of the committee.
All right. You've heard the motion and motivation from the chair. I see a couple of hands. Member Byfield, is that on this particular topic, your hand there? Or is that legacy? Might be legacy. All right. Let me go to Member Pinchback. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's very important that we stay in the game. With the bylaws changes and all that, nobody's going to focus on relocation like we will. So by all means, we need to support this and just keep it moving.
All right. Anybody opposed to the motion would like to speak? All right. Hearing no opposition at this point, I'll ask again as a matter of passing this motion. Is there any opposition to the motion as presented to keep the relocation committee as a functioning committee for this LSB going forward? Any opposition to that? All right. Hearing none, we have a committee, relocation committee going forward. What that entails is a bit of a reorganizing of the committee itself. As you all probably know, there was three standing, committee members. The, chair of the, board, the treasurer, the general manager, or in this case, it's an interim general manager, and the chief engineer. All right. Those three were the standing committee members, and then we added seven. Technically, under the new bylaws, there's no treasurer. So you have two. So now we have to lift this committee up with eight additional members. So we're accepting and taking any membership at this time. So nominations for membership or for membership on the committee will be accepted by the secretary. I don't think we'll get to voting tonight, but if you would like to be a member of the relocation committee, send either your name and or your nomination into Secretary Carter before we'll give it Chair. What do you think, Chair Williams? What do you think the time frame there before the next meeting? I think we want to try and do a vote.
With the holidays coming up.
We're in the third week too, so we got an extra week because it's third week of the month in January, not the second.
That's right. That's right. So it can be by,
first by Wednesday in January. What's that?
The second Wednesday or that Monday? What is that date?
Let me make sure Ellen's okay with that. Ellen, if we give you nominations by January 14th.
Yes.
If we give you nominations by January 14th for the relocation committee, can you process an OPA vote by the 21st so that we can vote on the nominees?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So my proposal, and whether or not you want to accept this, is that the relocation committee needs eight additional members. Two standing members are currently the chief engineer and the general manager. So we need eight members from this body to fill the 10-member committee. Those nominations need to be into Ellen Carter, our secretary, by January 14th. Are there any concern? Okay, sure. Go ahead, Member Williams. Yep.
Yeah. This is a question. I don't know if folks want to deal with this now. The current committee that was sort of set up by the PNB also restricted membership to current LSB members. Because they would be sort of just getting into a lot of financial stuff. In fact, over the last year, some of the more active and helpful, partners for this effort, have been, WPFW members and staff members who are not currently on the LSB. So the question is, whether we want to restrict membership on the committee, simply to those people who are on the LSB. As an example, I'll say this because this isn't easy. One of the people who's been very helpful is Greg Williams, who is a programmer, who is not on the LSB, who is an architect. And having his input has been tremendously helpful. As an example. So that's the question.
I think this particular nomination process is for the voting members. I think there will be an opportunity, if that committee believes so, to accept assistance from non-LSB members. But I think adhering to that particular motion that came out a couple of years ago, the voting membership will be that 10.
Okay.
Keep it there. But I don't think the committee should turn away any expertise. That would be foolish.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
All right, Ellen. So again, any opposition to nominations being into Secretary Carter by the 14th of January? All right. Hearing none, please get those into her. If you'd like to participate, you can self-nominate for the committee. If you have someone you'd like to have on the committee, you can send their name as well, to Secretary Carter. You can get their approval ahead of time. If not, it takes a little bit longer during the voting process, but, you can send your nominations if it's not you personally. All right. So that's our reorganization of the relocation committee. We're good on that. Preparation for town hall. I think we went over that. Member McClain mentioned 11 a.m. on Saturday. Most of us, all of us will be there and we'll have, specific duties and tasks for everybody to handle. And, we'll be ready to roll if there's any, additional problems that occur, since we'll have a lot of manpower at that time. So any additional thoughts or concerns about our town hall? Oh, and my last thing on the town hall. If you have questions, you can send them in. There's a thread out there already. If you have questions, send them in. By Friday, maybe midday Friday, I'm going to send a batch of questions over to the chair, PNB chair, and let her digest those and kind of figure out how she wants to approach some of those questions, during the meeting. So please contribute in that sense. All right. So retention of our parliamentarian. As you all know, we have a parliamentarian that is, been assisting us through this year. The contract for, Ms. Watkins is up, at the end of this meeting. And so we have to determine, this body if we want to go forward with her services. And if so, there's compensation involved in that. And so we haven't, negotiated that particular number. I don't know if we probably shouldn't do that here now, but the cost would be on us. As you know, last year we voted to go ahead and pay for both our Zoom account that we use and the parliamentarian. All right. So my first order of business and question is retention of our parliamentarian. Do we want to retain the services for the coming year? That would be January through December again, 2026. I'm going to go right to Member McClain. I think Member Byfield's a legacy hand. Member McClain, you have the floor.
Thanks. I have a point of information. I know that we know our perspective, as a board, just, being in attendance of meetings, and seeing how things are run. Kamau, I feel like a lot of the job of the parliamentarian is also to assist you. So before we vote, I would love to hear kind of your perspective on if you felt like it was helpful as the chair.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great question. The services of the parliamentarian have been such that in meetings, it's not always as easy to kind of negotiate or navigate, but there's been times when text messages and communications come through that's been very helpful, in the moment. But mostly also it's very helpful post-meeting and pre-meeting. So there's some communication post-meeting about certain things that were missed, certain things that could have been improved upon or done better. And then of course, pre-meeting, as to how to, proceed with, certain, processes as it relates to Robert's rules and so forth. So, to me as a chair, it would be kind of, penny wise, pound foolish to not invest in a parliamentarian. That's just me, sitting in the seat. Anyone else who sits in this seat, of course, it's completely up to them as to how they would, function as a chair. But me personally, I think without a parliamentarian, you're probably running the risk of just kind of exposing yourself, to a little bit more, dysfunction amongst the body. So that would be my comment there, but thanks for the question. That's perfect. Member Sanders and then Member Lane in that order. Member Sanders.
Okay. Mr. Chair, you just stated it and, Mariah asked the question. The role of the parliamentarian is to assist the chair. The role is not to address questions from the membership. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, the expense for the parliamentarian who is supporting the chair not the full body, but the chair, why would that expense have to come to the membership?
The chair comes from the membership. I'm not here by circumstance. I'm a member.
Okay. And as you said, you are a member. The support that's given to you, but not given to the other members of the board, that would either be covered by you, or it should be something. We had funding that came through the outreach committee. And I said this last year, that funding should be used to cover things that the LSB is dealing with. And I say that it should cover parliamentarian, and it should also cover the internet or the Zoom that the LSB is using. And there was a lot of pushback when I made that statement, but that makes sense because that way it's not coming from the members. It's coming from funds that was raised by the LSB to support what they, to support the things that they need to support either the station or to do outreach. So that's my comment on it. That's what I see the parliamentarian and also the Zoom being something that would come out of what was turned in by the outreach committee. Thank you. And okay. that's less than $300.
Okay. All right. So the suggestion is that the parliamentarians' compensation as well as a Zoom should be something that is generated by fundraising through this body. And I just want to summarize, is that correct? Member Sanders, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Yes, that was stated. Their cost, their expense should come out of the funds that the LSB raised. When we turn in money, we never know where it goes, but that's where it should go. One of the things.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Member Lane, and then Member Dixon Briggs, and then Member Bruce, after in that order. Member Lane, what do you have?
Yes, two items real quick. Just for clarification, the parliamentarian, while the parliamentarian is there to support the chair, the parliamentarian served at the discretion of the board. And actually overall the organization. And so, but I do agree with the method of payment of the parliamentarian coming from the funds which Minerva just mentioned. But I just want to clarify, the parliamentarian is not the chair's personal secretary. It is someone who, assists all of us in the proper running of a meeting. And we need to be clear about that. The second thing I want to ask, Mr. Chair, is whether or not before the adjournment, a suggestion can be made in new business that's not necessarily on the agenda, but it is timely.
Let me clear this, and then we'll come back to you if we have we're not at time certain, okay?
All right.
Member Dixon Briggs and Member Bruce, in that order.
I basically wanted to make the same point that my colleague just made. I couldn't have said it better, so I don't need to try to say it any better than he did. That is my point exactly. The parliamentarian serves the body by assisting the chair to run an orderly meeting, and the body can also ask questions that would be directed to the parliamentarian if we direct those questions about parliamentary procedure through the chair.
Yeah. Member Bruce, and we'll give Member Sanders after that. Member Bruce.
Wow. I probably just opened my mic just to hear me say, wow, because both of my colleagues took the words out of my mouth and said them much more eloquently than I ever could. And that should, parliamentarians should never be a debate about whether they serve the chair. Payment, I totally agree. We need to figure out a way to pay. Whatever the method is, this board needs a parliamentarian. Thank you.
Member Sanders, let me go to Member Hewitt. She hasn't spoken yet, and I'll come back to you, Member Sanders. Member Hewitt.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for having this conversation because, you know, just looking at the agenda, I would have said, hey, our meetings have been running pretty well lately, and I think Kamau does a fantastic job chairing, so why do we need to pay a parliamentarian, right? But now I understand that a lot of that, and that's because the rest of us don't necessarily see, you know, precisely how the parliamentarian's contributing, but I think our meetings are going pretty well. And so, in that sense, I'm, you know, not opposed to continuing to have a parliamentarian, and I appreciate the input that you've shared with us this evening, Kamau.
No, thank you. Member Sanders, you have the floor.
Okay. I'm raising my hand because probably two or three meetings ago, a question came up and it went to the parliamentarian and the parliamentarian, and it was something like asking who she supported. And the statement was made, I'm here, my role is to support the chairperson. If that's given even information about what Robert's rules said, so on and so forth, then it's not information that's going to come to us. It takes us to chapter and verse. It's going to go to the chair. And we've had someone be our parliamentarian that, in essence, came in and spoke as if they were running the meeting. So my thing is, again, if this person is supporting the chair, that's great. Let them go ahead and do that. And, yeah, the meetings have gotten better. I haven't been to a lot of them lately, but they are running much better than they've been. And if it's because of her support, then thank her for doing that. But I'm just saying that if it's just to support the chair, I'm not saying do away with them, let them stay. But they come from funds that we've already raised. Thank you.
All righty. All right. I think everybody up there has spoken, so I won't try and clear the stack there. But as everyone's spoken on this issue, I'd like to speak, and then I can quickly give a motion, and then we can figure out how we want to proceed. So if there's no one else, then Member Kiyasi, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm on. All right. Mm-hmm. I just want a clarification. When we're talking about funds already raised, are we talking about general funds for the station as a whole or something else? I'm not clear about that.
I'll go back to Member Sanders. Are you able to answer your colleague's question?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. And David, the funds I'm speaking about is we bring in funds every year from the 5K. We turn them over to the station and we have no idea what those funds are used for. So I'm saying that if we're going to cover a parliamentarian and we're going to cover Zoom, then let's take those funds out of what we're generating. So we have an idea of where those funds go. And we've asked for information on the other and not been given that. Thank you.
Okay. Member Kiyasi, you good? All set with that? Great.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So then the motion on the floor will be to extend the contract for our parliamentarian through December 2026. Kind of need the rate. Ms. Watkins, can I ask you about a rate? Are we negotiating or are you going to hold where we are? I kind of need that.
Okay, we can hold where we are.
We can hold. Okay. All right. So the motion on the floor will be to continue the – oh, yep. Member Williams, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just realized I'd like to get some input from our volunteer non-treasurer about the using money that's already coming into the station. Is that okay? Are those funds planned for someplace else? Can they be earmarked for board expenses? I'd just like to get some input from the person who's looking at the money on a regular basis. Is Tom still here?
I don't
think
see
he's there.
Member Chase. Okay. Yeah, I don't
well,
see
never
him.
Mind. Sorry.
We'll have to go through the wilderness without. You heard the Ms. Watkins, our parliamentarian. The rate will remain the same. The motion is to extend her contract through December 2026 for parliamentarian services for our local station board. All right. Is there a second to that motion? Oh, we got a couple more hands. Sorry. Member Hewitt.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think money is fungible. And so, you know, unless we were donating money to the station that, you know, was for a very specific purpose, you know, the kind of restricted donation that sometimes, you know, major donors make, you know, money's fungible. So if you say the $300 that the LSB raises goes towards LSB expenses, then that's $300 that the station doesn't have to spend, right? And so I feel like this is just not that important of a distinction, figuring out, because I know what happens with the money that the 5K runs. It goes to the station and it does things like it helps pay the electric bill, it helps pay the Verizon bill, et cetera. And to me, it doesn't really matter, because whatever the money you spend on the electric bill is, then that money's freed up. If you say that's what it's got to be for, then that money's freed up, you know, otherwise to spend on something else. So it's kind of, I don't want us to spend time splitting hairs on this. I just feel like, you know, it's okay, no matter what we do.
Understood. Thank you so much for that input. All hearts and minds clear. So again, the motion on the table is to extend the contract for the parliamentarian at the current rate through December 2026, for her services to this local station board. Is there a second for that particular motion?
Second.
Seconded by Member Diamond. Any other discussion? Are folks comfortable doing it any opposition, or do we want to go to the roll? Let me ask it in the proper manner. Is there any opposition to the motion?
No.
Okay. All right. Hearing none, we will retain Ms. Watkins as our parliamentarian for the ensuing year at the current rate, and really appreciate her services and her willingness to stick with us going forward. So thank you all for that. So that matter's clear. All right, last but not least, and I'll make it very, very quick. At the bottom of your agenda, if you had noticed, I added some bullet points. And this goes back to my discussion with the parliamentarian. Technically, adding this is not my purview alone. I should not be doing and adding particular ways in which we operate in our meetings without discussing it with the body. So again, value to the parliamentarian. So I need to go back, read these bullet points, and let you all know, or let you all consider, whether or not these are rules and procedures we want to adhere to during our meetings, all right? So the additional bullet points read as such. The first one, all discussion must be relevant to the immediately pending question. All discussion must be relevant to the immediately pending question. Second bullet, no member should speak more than twice to each debatable motion. The second time takes place after everyone wishing to debate the motion has an opportunity to speak once. Number three, all remarks should be addressed to the chair. No cross debate is permitted. Number four, debate must address issues, not personalities. And number five, when possible, the chair should let the floor alternate between those speaking in support and those speaking in opposition to the motion. All right. So these are five bullet points, that, you know, just through some research of my own that I put on here. She recognized it, said, hey, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to make sure it runs through the body. So if I could read them again, if you need to hear them again, but these are some rules that will assist us, I think, in, again, having a smoother running meeting. We struggle with, of course, the kind of cross debate. You know, that's partly, probably mostly my fault that I need to try and really, you know, traffic the conversation, but these things should assist us. So that's what's on the table to retain these five bullet points as ways in which our meetings will operate. And so I want you all to consider that, and then we can take a vote on that and hear discussion. So I see a couple hands, Member Williams and Member Kiyasi in that order.
Yeah, I strongly support all of these, and I want to point out that number four about debating issues, not personalities, is a hallmark of the special rules of conduct that this board adopted several years ago. Shout out to Maniac McLeod in the House, who that was his mantra from the beginning. So, I strongly support reaffirming that principle. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Maniac is here. Member Kiyasi.
I have an issue with bullet number two. Mm-hmm. I think it's too inflexible. I think there may be issues that are, you know, of a great concern that require back and forth discussion. And I think that two times for somebody, let's say, who's supporting a motion is not enough. It may be enough in 98% of the cases. But in that 2%, there might be a need to keep going back and forth to deal with the issue. I would say maybe make it three times instead of two. That's my suggestion.
Okay. All right. So we have a edit or update to the motion to consider these five bullet points. For bullet point number two being no more than three times during a debatable motion may a member speak. No more than three is the suggestion from Member Kiyasi. Does anyone, do we have a second for that? Any second? Nobody?
I'll second that.
Okay. I mean, all right. If you want to.
I do.
Remember Lane, you have something, yes.
But I thought that was number three. Wasn't it number three?
No. This is, okay, let me read it again. Just make sure we're clear. Remember Kiyasi feels as though we're a little restricted on bullet point number two. Okay, where we are only limiting ourselves to twice, speaking twice to a debate.
And that's bullet point number two.
That's bullet point number two. No member should speak more than twice to each debatable motion. The second time takes place after everyone wishing to debate the motion has had an opportunity to speak once. That's the one we're talking about. Yeah.
Right. I support that.
Support. Right. Okay. So he wants to go three. So you got to support for that. All right. Member Lane.
I was going to add an amendment if Member Kiyasi would agree. Instead of saying three times, I would still say two times. And then is that the discretion of the chair?
Okay.
I'll accept that.
Okay. Boom. Anybody opposed to that friendly amendment?
Vanessa is opposed to that.
Okay.
So apology for not raising my hand. I just couldn't get to the button fast enough. The reason I am is that it depends on who the chair is. All chairs are not the same. I think you're very reasonable, but that has not always been the case. And so I would hate to have a standard based on who's occupying that position rather than having a standard that applies no matter who's there.
I hear what you're saying, but I will tell you the chair has a lot of discretion. I mean, for those of us who've been in other meetings, you've seen other ways in which, you know, the chair can operate. It could be, you know, rather restrictive. So I hear you on that. I mean, I guess the language on the bottom would kind of, I guess, influence the chair in a way, but,
I hope the language would influence the chair.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they're okay. I hear you. You're opposed to it. No, not a problem. Not a problem. Any other? I see. Member Pinchback. Go ahead with that. You have the floor, Ron.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that by giving the chair that kind of discretion, exposes them to criticism from those who say, okay, you know, that's your boy, so I know you're going to support that and or give him that extra bite, you know. So I say to keep everything above board, flat three, end of story.
So you're back to proposing, well, we have to dispose of the friendly amendment. So Member Kiyasi has accepted.
I thought the friendly amendment was three.
And the friendly amendment was at the discretion of the chair. You can extend it.
Okay. I will rescind my, support for the amendment and go back with three. I'll go back to my original three.
Great. So you and Ron are in concert. Any opposition to the replacing twice with three? All right. I think we have a number. So that bullet point number two, no member should speak more than three times to each debatable motion. We good? All right. Excellent. That was good. Three times. I will change that on the next agenda that we send out. All right. Any other, discussion on those bullet points? Any action items left? I think we had one action item, which is, we have two actually. We have, so we have to get a definition for what the, membership / fundraising coordinator is. Either we're getting a definition for that, and we're giving the one nomination for Member Avery Brown. We're getting her to contemplate that over the next month. We are also accepting nominations for the reconstituted relocation committee. We need eight members for that committee. We have two standing members. Again, those are the general manager, in this case, interim general manager, and the chief engineer. So we need eight additional from this body, all right, to reconstitute that committee that we're going to stand up. So those are our action items for us going forward. Oh, and as a request for our directors, if you consider or would like to see the grievance policy move forward within the national board, that you push or present that as the next agenda item or an agenda item for the national board at the next meeting. That would be helpful. Did I miss anything?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Member Lane.
Yes. I'm sure everybody knows that the political landscape in Washington, D.C. is about to undergo significant change. I would like to suggest, given the fact that WPFW is a nonpartisan station, that WPFW hold candidate forums, at least one. And if I would like to, I'm going to make that suggestion to both Miyuki and to, Katia, but I'm bringing it up to the board because I think that if they say that we should, we don't want to be left behind. We need to be in the mix. But if they say that it should happen, then I'm asking the board to consider at its next meeting to create an ad hoc committee for the purposes of putting together a candidate forum or forums.
All right. Let me understand. Not a motion tonight. You're asking to add that as an agenda, a new business item at our January meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. You're asking to add as new business the creation of an ad hoc committee to consider forming.
Organizing and implementing for the purposes of organizing and implementing a, candidate forum. That we could actually air live.
All right. Got it. Ellen, do you have that?
Got it.
Thank you. Thank you, Member Lane. Any discussion? I see Member Williams and Member Avery Brown in that order.
I like the idea. My question, I don't know if I missed this, but who is going to, you're saying that we would take it up if management approves it. So how is that ask going to be made? Who's designated to ask the station management if they're willing to do it?
Well, since I brought it up, I feel that I should ask both Miyuki and Katia.
Okay.
All right. That's on you. Excellent. Member Avery Brown.
Okay. Ahead. Can I just add the caveat? And there's always a chance that since there is a pending change in management, that there may not be comfort with giving a definitive answer before that change. But I do think you should go ahead and ask now. And I think it's a good idea. That's all.
Yep. There's always some moving parts in there.
I'm done, fellas.
All right. Member Avery Brown and Member Pinchback. And then we'll almost have time, sir.
Just for clarification, you are talking about the mayor's candidacies, correct?
No. Ambrose. No, I'm not. That can be determined by the ad hoc committee. It could be the delegate. Could be the at-large member. Could be the chairman. All of those seats are up.
Okay. So you're... All right.
You don't have to choose that right now.
Yeah, I think what Member Lane wants is the committee to be formed in order to consider what candidate forms are available and to implement that. So,
I mean, it gives us the opportunity to partner with other organizations. It also, puts us really on the map, even more so with, those that are considering running for office. We don't have to have them on as guests and, you know, talk about their platform. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting a candidate forum. We are nonpartisan. Yeah. Have it all the time.
Yeah, I kind of see what your vision is. I'd like to talk to you more about that. But all right, so Member Avery Brown, does that answer your question?
It does. Yeah, and just for the record, I'm not opposing that. Not opposing the idea at all. I just wanted clarity on which candidate's forum you were talking about. So that's fine. Thank you.
You got it. Member Pinchback, you got the floor.
Okay. You know, we do have a program committee. And I like the idea, but I like the idea if it was presented to the program committee for vetting, and then they come back with either their support or not.
I disagree. First of all, that's going to take too much time.
I hear you, but
Hold on, because I think we're getting into a debate that we could probably have in January, that because all that Member Lane is asking for is for this to be put on new business in January. In January, hold that thought, Ron, and we can have that particular discussion at that time.
Well, the reason I'm putting it up now is because he wants to go talk to Atiyah and Miyuki about this idea now.
And you're asking him to go through the program? I just want to understand your steps. You want him to go through the programming committee?
At least, you know, have a conversation there, you know, and just to start the process. That's okay. All.
Okay. I will offer you this. Member Lane, can you talk to the chair of the programming committee as well?
I mean, I certainly can, but I'm not saying that I'm not going to wait for a decision from the program committee.
Correct.
The timing is just, it doesn't permit that. If we were talking about this back in November, then that would be appropriate. But candidates have already filed their paperwork.
100%. I am putting this on new business. You asked for it to be there. There's a couple of steps that it sounds like folks don't want necessarily, or at least one member would prefer not to go directly to management. But if there's a reason why this is under programming, I'm not sure why, because I didn't hear you say on air forums. I think I heard you just say candidate forums, which could take place, you know, at MLK Library or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to necessarily be on air.
No, he talked specifically about airing it, which I would rather. I would hope it would be aired. So I'm just, like I said, I don't want nobody to get any feelings hurt.
All right, hold on. let me ask you this then. What about, cause you know, Member Lane's a programmer. What about him just bringing this to his direct report, the program director himself? What would be wrong with that?
As a programmer presenting an idea.
Yeah.
That's fine. But representing the entire board is another matter.
Well, I think what he's trying to do, and I'm not trying to read his mind, and we're going to wrap, but I think what he's trying to do is get enough of support from this body to assist in his venture to go to management with this idea. I don't think it's one of these things where he alone is going to be able to go up there and say, hey, let's do this. But if he has support from us as we debate and discuss this in January, it may give him a little bit more and give all of us a little bit more, you know, kind of strength behind the request.
Can I address that, Mr. Chair?
Hold on. I just want to make sure I'm kind of, does that make sense, Ron? And I can let
me. Yeah, I'm with that. You know, I understand what's trying to be achieved here, you know, and that's the goal, what's trying to be achieved here, you know, an on-air candidates forum, hosted by WPFW. And, you know, I like I say, I think there's enough support here for that. All right, I'm done.
We're at time certain for this meeting. So we're unless there's a motion to extend, then we're going to adjourn at 10:10 p.m. Eastern.
Are we going to do the vote in January? Are we going to bring this up in January?
Yes, it's on the agenda. I already took it down. Hearing no motion to extend, okay. We are adjourned. I will see you all, I'm sorry. One last piece and I'll send this out. I think I sent an email to everybody, at least to Ellen earlier. There'll be some invitations to a holiday party, in your email, and I need some responses back for that. But, we'll send that communication via email. All right. All right. We're adjourned and, enjoy your, holiday and festivities and New Year's, and I'll see you all in January. All right. Thank you much.
Saturday.
Good evening.
And Saturday. Yes.
Yes. Don't forget Saturday. Yes,
100%.
See y'all.
Happy holidays.
Happy Saturday.
See ya.
Good night.
All right.
This is good work.
Good night.
Doesn't end.